Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Send up all that men, send up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell.
What? Yeah.
Girl,
like that.
Girl, you can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. It's Thursday, and there's nothing like a little OTA to get the news flowing here at Gillette Stadium. We have a lot to talk about here in Patriots Football Weekly. What's the name of this show?
PFW in Progress.
PFW in Progress. And we'll be here until
Didn't
2
you
o'clock.
Start the show?
What's that?
Didn't you come up with the idea for the
Whatever.
Show? Shouldn't you know the name?
I did. That doesn't mean I remember it. PFW in Progress. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And, again, we'll be here until 2 o'clock. So, guys, right off the bat, the big news from yesterday's practice, Wes Welker in a brace but running around like nothing happened.
A nice little player.
Yeah, he was a nice little player. And for an OTA, because let's be honest, for OTAs generally aren't sources of huge news for us. Guys aren't in pads. There's, you know, not a whole lot of analysis we can gather because nobody's hitting. But the fact that Welker was out there was, I think, astonishing to almost all of us. Although Andy says in the real world, those kind of injuries are, you're pretty much back to normal within this amount of time. So he wasn't as surprised by it as...
Well, No. I am surprised because this is the NFL world. In the NFL world,
right,
I'm
they're
stunned.
They're not normal. That's not normal.
Yeah, the
right.
fact that he's out there, I'm stunned. I think it changes my whole perspective on the injury and Welker's availability for the first 6 weeks. I think there's very little chance that PUP is now a consideration.
Yeah, I think he'll be out there.
I think he'll be on the field week one. What he is on the field, who'll know, but I think he'll be out there.
I just, you know, and I'm
going to redo my 53-man roster.
I'm as happy for him as anyone, but as a fan, you know, this is one instance where I'm kind
You're cautious.
Of... I'm very cautious. I'm very cautious.
Well, you should be. I mean, it's a serious injury. Any little setback could, you know...
Because I'm usually the guy that gets overexcited, and then I set myself up for the
big
fall.
You've just painted Andy and I as the ultimate contrarians. You've succeeded. Because Andy and I got very excited yesterday, and we're surprised, and you just laughed at us and said, why are you getting so excited? We wanted to put it on the cover of the paper, and you sort of questioned that. It's very odd to me. You're usually such a passionate Patriots fan, and I wonder where your focus has gone, quite frankly, Fred.
Well, he's got other priorities. They change.
Are you choosing not to compete this offseason?
I'm defending the Patriots.
I think I've been battered down so much by injuries. The whole injury thing in the NFL is a very frustrating thing for me.
But when have you gotten your hopes up and then had them dashed in this type of a scenario?
Every year. With more than one player. you know, whether it's Brandon Tate coming and then having to leave again, or, you know, guys that, you know, going off on injury.
What about Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Brady, you know, obviously getting injured was a huge disappointment.
No, but he came back and went to the Pro Bowl last year.
Nothing like this.
No, but injuries every year are a big source of frustration for me, personally.
No, but this is that you're muddying the water as usual.
Right.
When have you seen a guy come back, got excited that he was coming back, and then realized, oh, I got too excited because he wasn't really coming back?
Brandon Tate's a good example.
No, but I think every year I look at guys in training camp, oh, he's not that hurt, and then he's gone for 6 weeks. You know, it happens. I do that to myself every year with more than one guy. I do it all the time. It's one of the reasons why Belichick refuses to talk about, you know, durations of injury, because you really don't know. Everybody's different. And, you know, you guys make fun of me because I'm always like, oh, he's not that hurt. And you're the ones that are always like, yes, he is. You know, I'm always the one that, you know, looking in the bright, oh, he'll be back next week. He's not that hurt. And then the guy misses four games.
But
it happens to me all the time.
See, I think this is just different. I mean, this is a guy that some people expected no matter what to be back.
I don't really understand what anybody else's injury has to do with this.
But here's the thing.
I think this is one of the ones with Bill. You want to quote Bill and timetables and stuff? Well, let's take it all on a case-by-case basis. This is Wes Welker 4 months post-surgery
on the field on something
as meaningless as an OTA. Hmm. I think it was very impressive and surprising. Listen, to me, the story has changed from when will he be back to what will he be when he's back.
Yeah.
That, to me, it was always both of those. When and then how much Welker will we get? Now, to me, it's only how much Welker will we get?
Yeah.
Because now I'm in the camp where I will be very surprised if he's not ready to go in September.
Mm. Right.
Maybe not week one, but I don't think PUP, as Andy said, is now an option.
You know how conservative teams are when there are serious injuries like this. They don't want players coming back any sooner than they have to or than they possibly can. For a guy of Welker's stature, the type of injury that he had, why would they risk putting him out there
For 20 minutes. The one session during the week in which the media is out there.
Right.
As Teddy Bruschi said,
if there's a field house,
he can go do everything he wants to do
exactly.
in that field house, and no one would ever know.
Exactly.
This is a story because Bill Belichick wanted it to be a story today. That's fact, not opinion.
Any concern that there would be a setback by his going out there yesterday, I don't think they would have brought him out there.
Yeah, I think it's miraculous. Don't you? I mean,
no.
Don't you?
I was shocked. I was shocked to see him.
It's astounding. No. Andy, don't. No, I'm not. You were the one saying.
Fred, this comes from my own personal experience. That's why I don't think it's a miracle.
Wait, you're the one that when the injury happens, said he'll be lucky if he's on PUP. You're the one who said that.
No, I said.
You said we'll see you in week 7.
See you week 7.
Okay.
That's exactly what I said. I didn't say lucky on PUP.
So, and you're not surprised?
No, I just said I'm very surprised. But there's no miracle involved.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised that he's back.
I'm not being literal.
You said miraculous.
I said I'm not being literal.
I opened with, I'm surprised. It's changed my whole view on the timetable, the situation, his status. I just don't think it's a miracle in any way.
I think it's an astounding recovery, faster than expected.
See, I don't think it's that much different than Brady last year. What I am surprised at is, and I'm taking the word of Andy and Eric here because I didn't actually see the portion that he participated in the bags in the drills. That how quick and the change of direction stuff that he used. And there's video of it.
If fans want to see it. It's available on the internet. And
we'll get into that, too, shortly.
Patriots.com has it.
Patriots today.
I'm surprised, but not stunned, that he was on the field yesterday. I am stunned with what he did on the field yesterday.
Oh, that's part of it, too.
I mean, I'm completely stunned that he was able to go through those bags, do his little scissor routes that he's done 125 times a year, where he's shooting over the middle, stopping on a dime, and cutting back to the outside. That's Wes Welker. That's what he does. And to see him doing that 4 months after surgery, to me, was stunning.
I'm absolutely stunned. I'm not stunned he can do it. Like, if I went into the bubble and saw him doing it, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised they decided we're unveiling it.
Exactly.
He's going out there with his teammates
and doing
it.
Allow me this one time to be the guy on the other side who's
Mr.
less
Negativity.
Optimistic than you guys. Because usually I'm the guy that's, he's going to be fine, or this is going to be great, and you're the... I'm going to be on the opposite side this time. I'm going to wait and see.
See, I'm going the other way.
And this
way.
Is just
I'm,
because of your... I'm looking for four straight 100-catch seasons.
I'm not getting my hopes up for September 12th.
I think it's reasonable to expect that, though, based on what we saw yesterday.
Okay, hey. But I just, you know, I don't want
to... Brady's got a new helmet.
I don't want to disappoint myself here, so I'm going to temper my enthusiasm.
Oh, mark this under things that I've seen, yeah. I pick up off TV that I didn't see in person. Tom Brady now has a new age helmet. After, I believe, the entirety of his career wearing one of those old-school
Rydell ones. Yeah.
I just think it's bigger because he has all that hair.
It's a different helmet. He does have a lot of hair, Fred, but if you look at the air holes on top, the ear holes on the side, the shape of the helmet, he now has a new-age helmet.
Yeah, Moss is still wearing the old one.
There's no question that that's a new-age helmet. I just thought he always wore that.
It's the same one that Roethlisberger was wearing at minicamp, too.
Well, a lot of them made the transition.
Maybe they're giving him to the quarterback.
How many years ago was it?
Oh, yeah.
Those
came out. About 5 years ago anyway.
But... He stayed with the old school.
He never wore the other one?
Yeah.
99.9% sure. Yeah. We've actually answered SPFWs on it. People wondering why he has that old-looking helmet when everybody else has gone to the new ones.
Yeah, no.
The new ones are weird-looking.
To me, if you're saying that you're skeptical of September 12th that he'll be out there, I'm actually more on the side that I'm expecting him to be out there, barring a setback, you know, if something happens or whatever.
Or bearing one.
But I don't know what
I'm just not counting on it.
I still don't know what he's going to be. I'm not counting on him being him. I'm not counting on him being able to just... Wide receivers, that injury to wide receivers and defensive backs in particular hits the hardest.
Yeah.
Especially slot guys.
Yeah, so I am going to reserve judgment as to is this going to be the 130-catch, 125-catch Wes Welker? I don't know. And if it... Even if it's the same amount of catches, much like Brady last year, statistically Brady last year was... rock solid, but we all saw him. He wasn't himself.
Right.
He wasn't the same guy. And you know,
it was the worst Pro Bowl Player of the Month, Player of the Week season that we've ever seen from a guy coming off
4,000 yard passing.
I mean, like,
but you also statistically could take it down to two games.
No, I know that.
Tampa,
I heard
Tennessee.
Tony Maserati rant about it yesterday
on
the radio. But the bottom line is, the guy won Player of the Week his first week back. Player of the Month a little while later, went to a Pro Bowl, and we all said, hey, he wasn't that good last year.
Just shows you how good he was when he...
Would you say he's a great quarterback, Fred?
Yeah.
Me too.
I would as well.
Somebody at practice, I said, you got a great quarterback, and they actually stopped me and said, great.
Really?
Questioning it, and I'm thinking, somebody who works for this team.
Oh, yeah, this was not a media member. This was someone who works for the organization.
Wow.
The organization.
But regardless of how,
of
the kind of Welker that you get if he's back in week one, it changes the dynamic of the whole wide receiver position.
It certainly does.
Maybe for better, maybe for worse. Because now Bill Belichick has to decide not whether Wes Welker is going to be healthy, but is he going to be Wes Welker? And how does that compare to Brandon Tate or Taylor Price or Julian Edelman? What level, you know, is 72% Welker versus 100%, you know, how that all plays out.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it interesting.
It is, listen, it's great stuff for June 2nd, yesterday being out in the field to have something that, you know, that relevant to
buzzy.
Talk about yesterday.
Buzzy.
That was great.
There was
a buzz. There was a buzz in Foxborough yesterday on June 2nd.
That's
pretty remarkable.
So I would put that story on the positive side. That was a great story for Patriots Nation just to see him out there. You know, it's like it's a great surprise to, you know, wake up and see practice and there he is. So that was great. On the negative side, and this is sort of one of those stories that who knows who's saying the Michael Silver story that came out on Yahoo about, you know, there's a disconnect or a growing disconnect between Tom Brady and the team as to his status and contract and all that.
Well, see, I read the story yesterday afternoon, and I didn't see too much actual news out of it. It seemed more like speculation to me than actual news.
It was actually a PFW-like, we'll report on what everybody else has reported over the last, you know, he cited Peter King and ESPN Boston and the quotes from all over everywhere.
The only thing, I guess, was different was he tried, I guess, to reach out and get a quote from Brady, and Brady declined comment.
And he had one, according to someone close to Brady.
It didn't really sound newsworthy to me.
Will McDonough.
Well, it made some headlines. A lot of people repeated it, and, you know.
I don't think there was actually a lot of meaty
substance, though. It does bring up the whole issue of, you know, what do you do with Brady? He's up after this year. You got a new CBA that you're trying to negotiate. You're not exactly sure what the rules are going to be, but if you do a deal before that, then at least you can know you're doing it under these rules. How the
how his contract will be affected by the new CBA. You're not quite sure, but
I'm curious if these kind of stories are being written in the Indianapolis area
about
at the moment,
Peyton
about
Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Good point. Because we were told, we were talking about this earlier, Paul and I, and you know, before the Super Bowl, there was this big thing. Ursay came out and said they're going to make him, you know, give him an off the charts contract. Since that time, we haven't heard a peep.
See, I don't know anything about the Manning situation, so I'm not going to comment on that. But I think in this Brady thing, the story yesterday to me was really littered with, in my opinion, off the record quotes. Comments from both sides, especially Brady's side, because we know Michael Silver is boys with Brady. And the laughable thing that Andy brought up, by the way, he was involved in that conversation. You kind of left him out of that.
Oh, that's what he does.
That you brought up immediately was, you know, he'll be, how did he put, hunkered down in Foxborough at least through June 17th. Well, thanks for giving us 2 weeks, you know. Michael Silver, thanks for saying, you know, I think that, you know, we in Foxborough bow at the presence of the guy who decided to grace us with 2 weeks, and a whole 2 weeks, by
right,
the way,
right,
of the offseason. I mean, really, I mean, he wrote that as if to say, this is what this, you know, this is what this guy's all about, you know. 2 weeks, really? I mean, it's June 2nd. He's talking about he'll be here until June 17th.
Well,
that's basically the rest of the OTAs and minicamp, by the way, for those of you keeping track at home.
And again, it's very pompous because he's going to do in 2 weeks what all the beat writers can't do every day, you know? So, anyway.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know.
What did that just mean?
But I don't know.
What did you just say?
I don't know how it relates to Manning is what I'm saying. I don't, you know, Manning perhaps is waiting for Brady to sign. And maybe Brady's doing the same.
Right.
You know, so that might be the genesis of this whole thing. But it certainly would appear that Brady is frustrated that it hasn't moved yet. I don't know what Manning feels. I, you know, like I said, I don't have any, but Michael Silver is Brady's guy. And for him to write something that says, you know, that might hint toward a growing disconnect tells me that Brady is telling him there is maybe perhaps some impatience going on here. And we also know that Michael Silver is very friendly with a lot of owners around the NFL, so it wouldn't surprise me to know that he's talked to the Crafts as well.
But this would be a good time for our Colts listener, who I think his name is Mike. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
But
you don't know players' names, but you remember one Colts fan.
Well, he's the one Colts fan that listens to the show.
But, you know, if he could write in and let us know. What
Rodney Mayo
is
the one first-round pick at inside linebacker. That's
what the scuttlebutt is in Indy about Manning, you know? Because I haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard anything either.
God knows if they were about to do a contract or terms are coming out or what. It would be national.
We do get we get national clips as well as local clips.
Right.
So we can see if there's any sort of national writers going on. But I'm wondering if the beat writers in Indy.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a national story, though.
It would be. That's what I'm saying. I haven't seen anything in the regional clips.
Coming out of a contract that was imminent in Indianapolis, we'd know. It's not.
But it also might not be a big deal to Manning that it's not. Now, perhaps it is. Like I said, I have no idea. So the fact that there aren't any stories in Indianapolis wouldn't necessarily tell me that there's a growing disconnect between Manning and Ursay. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what Manning feels. And I don't know what Brady feels either.
Right.
I'm just saying,
that's
kind of
how I take it.
There's a story here that's saying there's a growing disconnect.
You know, and a lot of people scoff at owners that say, oh, well, you know, we really don't know what the rules are going to be after this. And we laugh at them. But
I laugh at
them. When you get to a deal of a magnitude of a Manning or a Brady, those rules really do come into play. I mean, there is a very good chance that there is no franchise tag in the new CBA. There's a very good chance that, you know, rules that now dictate what you can and can't do may change. And by waiting, you could have taken advantage of them. By not waiting, maybe you're making a mistake. You know, so those are it's really an unknown. And all you can do, you can't pull, you know, you can't collude. You can't go to the other owners and say, let's make sure we do this. That's against the rules, supposedly. You know, so it is tough when you're talking about deals of that magnitude. You know?
Well,
sure.
Wait a minute. You're talking about collusion in terms of what you want to do for the new CBA?
Yeah.
You can
collude on that.
No,
they can talk about that. That's why it's called collective bargaining.
Well, I guess so.
They just can't say.
They want to be on the same page.
We'll give up the franchise tag, but you 31 have to promise not to sign Brady.
Yeah, that's collusion.
That's collusion.
Right.
I mean, you know, the players obviously are talking amongst themselves. You know, we want to get rid of this franchise tag. How do we go about doing it?
Right.
Well, we're going to have to give them something back. Well, that's bargaining. Yeah, that's negotiating.
But isn't Brady a little bit to blame for this? Because he set himself up as a certain type of player and negotiator in his previous deals, and now it appears he wants to be $100 million maximize the money, right? So this is another major change he's undergone.
I mean, you might be right, but let's step back. Brady hasn't said anything.
Right.
So let's
but if
not,
we're going to speculate that he's not happy with the situation, I think we can extend the speculation.
Yeah, I know, but let's not go out on a limb and say that he's going to be demanding that he's the highest paid anything. We don't know that.
Right, and we don't know that he's unhappy.
You know?
No, but I think the longer this goes, the more interesting this is going to be to watch develop, because I do think there is a lot of elements, and again, to quote your bad radio station, you know, fact, not opinion. He took less than he probably could have gotten last time. Fact, not opinion. Was upset that they in turn allowed his wide receivers to walk away shortly thereafter. Fact, not opinion. He is now the union rep and has talked on the record about those kinds of things being important to him and setting the stage for what is going to come for the next generation. You know, again, that's not saying maybe he's upset about this, maybe those are all facts. So it's going to be interesting to see how much that stuff plays into the negotiation.
I also think it's interesting how this ties in with Manning, because if let's assume Brady wants to be, as you said, the big money, highest paid player kind of thing. He kind of
has in the ballpark.
Or in the ballpark. But he kind of has to wait for Manning to sign to kind of figure out
what that ballpark is.
This is what I'm saying. Well, and I think Manning may be doing the same thing.
And Manning might be doing the same thing. So at some point, somebody's got to sign something somewhere.
Right. But you know.
So maybe the two of them could collude.
It's going to be $100 million. It's going to be $100 million.
Do what LeBron James wants to do with all the free agents in the NBA.
Ooh, what are those, Paul?
Speaking of our Pats fan in Indy, Dave O has written in.
Not Mike.
He says there's nothing being said about Manning's contract. They're keeping it really quiet. The only focus right now has been the mini camps and that the Colts move from Rose-Hulman Institute back to Anderson University to practice. So, no news.
The only thing I will say is, if I recall, and I haven't, I mean, this is straight from memory, didn't Irsay say this summer, we're going to do that, and we know it's going to happen, and it's going to be the biggest ever, and that'll get done this summer. We're technically not really to the summer yet.
All right.
No, we're not.
It's not like he said, you know, the week after the Super Bowl, we're going to get it done.
And for all we know, that they, you know, Manning's agent and the Colts have agreed to say, let's keep this quiet. Let's not, you know, release any bombshells or posturing or anything like that. Let's do this behind the scenes.
Let's talk about it when it's announced.
Yeah, maybe things are working out great.
Or if your stuff turns out to be accurate and the labor situation is, maybe they have parameters of a deal pretty much worked out, and they're saying both sides, let's wait as long as we can. We'll see if we can get any more information.
Right.
You know, that might help us tweak the deal so it's more friendly on both sides with any, you know, possible changes, you know, or adjustments to this new CBA.
Right. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Before we get into more of this, why don't we go around the table, observations from yesterday's practice besides Wes Welker. Of course, Brady was there and Randy Moss was there and your guy Gronkowski was there, Andy. You know, anybody stand out? I know one of the deals was Mankins was not there.
Mankins was not there.
As expected, they had
Kazier playing left guard.
He's going to ask us for observations, and then he tells us the observations when he didn't go to practice. That was what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Kazier was at left guard. No, I mean, none of us ever speculated once in any way that in our three-way battle for two tackle spots, well, why don't we move Kazier to guard? And he's probably not going to be a guard because at some point Mankins could show up. But as I said to Paul, if he proves he can play it and they really don't want to pay Mankins, maybe instead of Seymour, you insert Mankins into was traded to the Denver Broncos for a first-round pick in the future or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it also kind of helps solve the tackle competition a little bit, because if he were the surefire starting right tackle, there's no way they'd be moving him over to fill in at left guard. They had Vollmer taking the right tackle spot. They had Matt Leid at left.
Right.
So I think that kind of is hints a little bit as to where the depth chart falls at the moment, at least.
Yeah, and I think it might say something to Mankins as well. And perhaps that's trying to put a little pressure on him in that, okay, listen, we have a starting caliber player. This is a guy who started that tackle for us since he's gotten here in 2005.
Well, maybe. Not so well, but...
I'm just saying, he started at tackle for them for 4 years.
Hank Poteet started some games, didn't he?
But he started every one.
Did they use him as an example for why Ty lost?
Are you just going to be ridiculous and keep doing
that?
I think the fact that
a guy was a jag right tackle, all pro,
we have a replacement for you is... I think that's laughable if I'm Mankins. I would absolutely laugh in Bill Belichick's face.
You don't think if you're Mankins, you don't find any more urgency with a guy who has played as opposed to a guy who's never played?
Nope.
Okay, well, I guess Mankins is a lot more confident than I would be.
You can put all the jag right tackles in at left guard you want. Good luck with it. Call me in week 7 when it doesn't work, or call me in week 6 whenever you're willing to.
But you don't think it would be better for the Patriots to have a guy who's actually played every game for the last 4 years as opposed to a guy who's played like one game?
I have no idea whether he can play guard.
Okay.
But the point is...
I don't! I mean, he's played right tackle.
Make it sound like moving from tackle to guard is like,
Andy,
you know, moving from...
Can't
possibly move to right tackle.
No, but...
That's been said by Bill Belichick.
Possibly or probably wouldn't be as good.
No, Bill Belichick essentially said he can't play right tackle.
Yeah, he said he can't possibly play right tackle.
In so many words, yeah, that's what he said. And that's at least the same position.
But we can move on
the end of the line.
The point that Paul was making that
I guess we can't have discussions
because
Paul.
No, because you're saying that Bill Belichick said he cannot play right tackle.
He basically
said he's better on the left side. Is basically what he's saying. We tried him at right side. We didn't like it. We moved him back to left.
No, he basically
said he can't play. He cannot play. That's what you're saying.
Yes,
physically incapable.
And you didn't argue this when we talked about this earlier and said Light's either the starting left tackle or not on the team
because they obviously
can't play the right side. Because Bill said he can't play the right side.
And I also think it has as much to do with Light's mentality at this point.
Whatever it is,
they don't want to move him to
right
tackle because they think he's going to bitch about it. And he alluded to bitching about it last year. I don't think they want to move him to right tackle. I think he's either the left tackle or he's gone.
The bigger point that Paul made that I agree with, we can agree and disagree, but we can't discuss it because you don't want to discuss it.
He cannot play a position. I mean, like, he physically cannot do
But I got
something.
The same impression that Andy got from
they
Bill
don't
back
want
in
to play
December.
Him there,
at the
opinion.
NFL level, at the level of which they would like that position to play,
he can't play
He can't
it.
Do it.
So the jag is better than the guy who's playing left tackle and
apparently.
Yeah, okay. At that position. Right.
That's what Bill said.
No, that's what you said. You called him a jag. I don't think Bill called Kazur a jag.
No, I did. I called him a jag.
That's what I said.
And you just said
your
the jag.
Is better.
I called him a jag. And Bill said that guy can play right tackle because he has.
Okay.
And he can even play left tackle.
But he can't play left guard.
I have no idea. I certainly don't think it's a given. On any level.
No, but here's the thing that you're missing, Andy. The Patriots were willing to take a guy who, whether or not you can debate the level, he's established himself as a starting caliber tackle in the NFL. He can hold his own. And they're willing to try him out at left guard. I think if I'm Mankins, I'm looking at that. That makes me raise an eyebrow. You know, that this guy, he can play, and they're willing to take him out of his position to see what he can do at guard. They've got Vollmer, so, I mean, he's a rising star. And they've got a guy who's been in the league for 10 years at left tackle. So you could say that other than my position, they're set, and if Kazur can do it, wow.
Well,
you
I know, think it speaks more to what Vollmer can do than what Kazur can do.
It speaks a lot to what Vollmer can do, but that's the point. They've got options.
But they have options. Dean Conley's an option.
And they're trying to see how many options they have by right now seeing how Kazur looks at that spot. I mean, who knows? I mean, look, no disrespect to Logan Mankins or Stephen Neal, but it's pretty... You know, a set fact that it's tougher to find good tackles and good guards. It's a lot easier to find guards in the NFL. So if you're an athletic offensive lineman, logic says that it might be easier to transition from tackle to guard than guard to tackle. Correct? So
I just think there's,
I don't think there's any question about it.
And if we're
going to use Bill Belichick's
right.
specific words against him, he said that anybody could play guard.
Right.
Now,
and then he drafted one in the first round.
Did he literally mean that anybody could play guard?
Right.
I don't think so.
Right.
Much like I don't think he literally meant that Matt Light cannot play right tackle.
That's right.
But right. That's what he said, and we have to go
right.
by
If you
want to
take it literal, you could play right tackle for the Patriots. You would suck, but you could do it.
No,
yeah,
but
you could put a helmet on, put your hand down, and at the snap, go like this.
That's exactly the opposite of the point I just tried to make. If you want to take Bill's words as literal, then that would be the case.
He also
said he
would never draft a guard in the first round.
And then he did.
And then he did it.
And I also don't – I think guards are becoming more highly rated over the years. I think that theory that guards can be anybody – was 6, 8, 10 years ago. I think that was a prevailing thought. I think you see more guards get drafted, more guards hire, more guards get paid big money. I think people have suddenly decided guards are more important than we used to think they were. I mean, what's his name? The guy in New Orleans just got a huge contract. We went through that phase a couple years ago where everybody was getting $49 million on 7-year deals.
And if you get a big, fat, slow tackle, I don't think you're better off putting him at guard. I'm not saying this is casual, but I'm just saying you made the point about moving, it's easier to move a tackle to guard. Some of these guys who play tackle are so big and slow and fat, I don't think they could play guard.
Well, I don't know about
I do agree with you on that.
Some are
there
too
are some guys
tall.
That are too big. I don't think Kadra's too big, but I do agree with you.
Yeah, you're right.
Jonathan Ogden, I think, would have a hard time.
Would have a very hard time.
Nine, you know, moving. I grant your point there. I do agree with that.
But I think Kadra is of the – he's the body type that, you know –
He could move
in small spaces that you need to do in a guard.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on one point in that I have no idea because I'm not Dante Scarnecchia.
Yeah.
I have no idea if Nick Kadra would be able to make a transition. I'm simply saying if I'm Logan Mankins, I know that Dan Conley is not a suitable replacement. I don't know if a guy who's played every game at right tackle for the last 4 years could possibly fill in for me.
See, I don't think it, I think actually less of a guy that's making a position change. I've seen him not be very good at tackle. I haven't seen him kill people in running. I don't think he's like this run blocking guy. So you say, you know what? It's the athleticism. Maybe he's stout enough. He can take on, you know, Jason Ferguson and these big nose tackles and guys. I've never seen him have a strength that I would say, you know what? That equates to a guard.
I don't know. They like this guy. You know, he had his troubles off the field. They stuck by him. Mm-hmm.
What would you say? What would you say, Kadra? How would you describe Kadra?
Jack.
No. I know you don't think he's good. I'm saying, from a physical standpoint, what do you think he does badly? We'll leave with that because that's.
I don't think he has a lot of power. I don't think he has a lot of strength and power. I think he's a pretty weak player.
Okay,
I don't
I'm surprised by that.
And I don't. I think he's an average athlete.
Did you guys ever pour a cup of soda before? My God. So you think he lacks power, and I would agree wholeheartedly with the elite. I don't think he's a very good athlete.
But I actually think his athleticism is better than his strength and power.
Yeah, see, I would
Which
go
is
the
why
opposite.
I think they moved him to, I think or at least experimented
I
with
think if he locks
guard.
On to guys, he generally does a decent job. I think he gets run around a lot by quicker guys like Robert Mathis. Yeah, I think his athleticism in space is a problem.
That will be
where I think
negated
he covered
at
up
guard.
A little bit at guard.
Right.
But I think he would get run the bleep over by
any of the powerful guys, I think, would kill him.
Well, we'll see.
Well, I think he'll be too high and too weak.
How many like overly powerful pass rushing types do you see inside?
I'm not talking about pass rushing sacks.
Well,
I'm saying get thrown around. I think Chris
you really
Jenkins
think he'll get thrown. Well, yeah. Chris Jenkins throws around everybody.
I mean, any of those guys that are considered good defensive tackles or nose tackles,
I mean,
Logan Mankins
got thrown around in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely bitch slap him, and I think the combination of a weak center and a weak left guard makes you really susceptible. Because I think when you have a horse on either side of Dan Copen, he's okay. I think when you put a guy who's a weakness next to him, now you've just compounded your weakness inside.
I know,
that's a good point. And that leads me to something else I think it could be a decent tangent here. We kind of all thought this offensive line, well, this pretty set. I mean, it's either going to be Vollmer or Kadra in the starting lineup. Andy just brought something up that's kind of interesting. Dan Copen, there's been a lot of sort of subtle hints at him possibly being out of a job even now.
Well,
something in this offseason, there's some kind
absolutely.
Of bonus or whatever that they're kind of looking around. There was a lot of talk in the draft. Mike Reese wrote a lot about the kid from Florida, Pouncey. Being a really safe pick as perhaps a guy that could play center in the future. Maybe they're not quite as set.
Well, I agree
with
that. But back to the whole Kadra thing. I think the main point is this. They're showing whoever that they're making plans for a what if. What if Mankins doesn't come back? We're not happy with Dan Connolly, so we're going to try something that we haven't tried before. What if?
And in all seriousness, I'm Logan Mankins. I'm okay with it. Call me a month into the regular season when you're getting your ass whooped along the line. Because not only is your backup guard not good enough, now you're moving people around. I will take my chances and say my point of negotiation power will be stronger after some games.
I kind of agree, because now you have three of your players who were competing for two tackle spots. Now all three of them essentially are on the field at the same time. If any one of them goes down, you're thin at the backup guard position and at the tackle position now.
I know. I understand that. All that can happen. But the point is, they're in a contract negotiation. This could be posturing by the – maybe it's a bluff. Maybe it's a bluff.
I don't think Bill goes into practice sessions.
Okay, fine.
I think you're very naive if you don't think that there's a reason behind stuff like that.
We're planning for life without you just in case.
Right. And to me, you're showing him you didn't have a backup. The backup plan wasn't good enough. Now I'm moving people. I'm scrambling.
That's fine.
Antoine Harris was my safety. Uh-oh, he sucks. I got to move a corner to safety.
But we're not just willing to put a warm body in there until you get back. We're going to see if somebody can play that position.
And isn't this the time to find out that?
Sure.
Right, exactly.
Isn't that the way that Bill usually does
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Sure. I don't think it's risky in any way because it can't hurt for a guy to take some reps and say, in a pinch, we now know Kasher has 17 practice reps at guard, which is better than zero.
And to take your side, Andy,
yeah.
I'm not saying that it means that Mankins is now home in California shaking in his boots.
No, I would be the opposite. I would call my agent and say, ask him for $5 million.
But don't tell
me. They don't even have a backup to me.
Don't tell me he's more concerned.
Maybe they'll give him it. You know, you never know.
Right. You can't tell me he's more concerned with the backup situation that they've had. He knows that that's not suitable. Maybe he doesn't know.
I don't know that Dan Conley can't play.
But I think that I'm saying if.
Especially how they talked him up last year for making that bid.
I'm going up a level of steps here in assuming
that Bill wants to see if Kasher can play guard because he doesn't think Conley was a suitable full-time replacement.
Couldn't this just be about Kasher?
Absolutely.
Bill decides, should I keep him around as a backup to all my positions, or do I cut him?
Maybe he says he's one of my five best linemen and I have to find a place for him. I don't know.
Let's put off our five best linemen on the field, no matter who they are, no matter where they are.
Fred and I's point isn't that Logan Mankins is now going to sit there and sign tomorrow. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're right about that.
Well, I think that's just money, though.
I don't think that
he wants a lot. They don't want to pay a lot.
But I do think that this is a situation that they're looking at what their best options are, and this is what Bill does. This is when he does it. He's not going to wait till September to say, "Hey, I know what we can do."
Right. No, I understand. I have no problem trying Kasher there if you think there's a chance he can play. But I think it's irrelevant to Logan Mankins.
Anyone that ever said that we don't talk football, we just spent 25 minutes talking about offensive lines.
I'll bet you we get at least three emails making fun of the fact that we argued about it.
Right. All right, 508-543-7482, web radio at patriots.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
I have 08-5... What?
We got 08-543...
What?
Something wasn't
Your
on.
Mic
wasn't
on.
My mic wasn't on.
His mic is on.
No, it's not his fault. Then he didn't turn it on.
Turn the mic on. As soon as I saw you gesture, I looked at the light, and his light's on.
My light's on.
I had it on in here.
All right. Well, something wasn't because we couldn't hear it.
Right. Anyway, 508-543.
One of you two is lying, like Burt Breer.
Not me.
Oh, great good segue.
Well,
can we get into that?
I guess so. I was.
Or do you want to tell us more of your observations on OTAs without going?
Oh,
by the way, I have none.
Yeah, but
I got there
unlike
in time
Fred,
for a media session.
You admit you weren't there. He goes, let's ask you for your observations. Mine, first of all, was Nick Kazier at left guard.
My observation was that Fred Taylor looks like he has a little more gray in the beard this year.
I think you called him a gray
beard.
Did
you see when Ron Artest pulled down Paul Pierce's pants during
yes.
the game? I never saw that before. That guy's nuts. Anyway,
I see what you did there.
He is certifiably insane.
Pulled his pants down. That
guy's nuts. Yeah.
But I just wanted to know any other options before we got into some of the drama
among
the
media. Ripping.
Any other observations you had? With
Hernandez
some of the...
continues to grow on me.
Okay.
As much as I Jones?
Love the idea of Rob Gronkowski, Hernandez has been the more impressive tight end in two media sessions. I don't
specifically
know.
As a tight end or just athletically?
Well, split wide, athletically. Yeah. I mean, he and Crumpler line up out wide more often than not. And, you know, these aren't full team activities and all that. Gronkowski you see more in tight as a
inline tight end.
The offense had a zip to it overall. I thought Brady looked pretty sharp, actually. Was throwing pretty well, accurately, with good velocity.
Yeah,
he was hitting Taylor in the hands every time
he dropped
him.
Best I've ever seen him, Fred.
Really?
No. I wouldn't say best I've ever seen him, but he looked pretty good for, you know, not having been here most of the offseason.
Just based on what Andy, some of the things that, well done. Based on some of the things that Eric and Andy said yesterday, I thought it was interesting that at least, you know, day one of the entire team being together, Guyton was next to Mayo with the first group at inside linebacker.
I think that'll change.
Well, I mean,
well, you know, whatever.
Was next to Mayo is how we like to phrase those.
Well, that's
we
how
Mayo's
like,
with.
That's how we like to do it in print.
Well, because you like to adhere to the rules of the media relations.
Unlike
department.
Other people
which
who
ignore the rules.
Which is another great segue. Can we get into that, please?
All right. So there's a rule, Patriots practices, that the media is not allowed to report during practice.
And it's not a new rule.
No. And report means anything.
So we talked about
blogging,
we talked about this
Facebook,
a lot last year.
Anything. You're not allowed to do anything during practice.
My face.
Yeah, to the public.
Yearbook,
whatever. but apparently the
that only applies to most of the media outlets.
Some got so excited by the presence of Wes Welker.
Not some. One.
They just couldn't help
one
themselves.
One pompous,
one rogue,
arrogant,
one rogue
jerk.
You know, so, and that caused...
And it may be the same one who tried to call us out on Sean Springs was a bad apple, he's not a bad apple, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe that's why he's doing it.
Well, anyway,
trying to get back,
you know, so that made it very uncomfortable for the rest of the media, because obviously we all saw the same thing at the same time, and we wanted our fans to hear about
it. In case people are wondering,
French over there,
it was the Boston Globe, because I think this needs to be said. It was the Boston Globe, and it was Bert Breer who tweeted out three different times during the course of the practice yesterday, which is a blatant violation. Eventually, after the third one, he was asked to leave. And he was escorted off the practice fields. The reason that it bothers us and others so much, and everybody was upset about it yesterday, Mike Reese talked to us about it at length. He caught all kinds of flack from his bosses at ESPN Boston and in the mothership ESPN.
Right.
Andy comes back right after practice, immediately puts up a paragraph about Wes Welker and about the observations, immediately after practice. And we get a comment back, you guys are aware that Welker was at practice at OTAs today, right? Which was obvious sarcastic response to the fact that the news had been on the internet and on the radio now for at least an hour before we had gotten it on the website.
Well, closer to two. I mean, it was an hour and a half practice
session. At least an hour.
And we met with the players for a half hour, so you're about 2 hours after he was actually on the field.
So this isn't necessarily one of those petty little things that we tend to, you know, take very seriously, because that's what we do.
And it's not just us.
We're petty. This is everybody. This was a blatant disregard for the protocol that's been in place for over a year now. By, of course, the Boston Globe, because they have no rules. They make them all themselves.
The arrogant paper's most arrogant writer.
Now that was petty.
I believe he feigned ignorance of the rule.
Yeah, he feigned ignorance, which was a blatant lie. And he made himself look bad, is what he's going to end up doing in the long run. But we all were made to look bad yesterday because we didn't have the same information up on the website that he had.
Yep.
And it wouldn't have been talked about on the radio if he hadn't tweeted it first.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't have been on the radio as long as it was.
Yeah.
The news would have been the same 2 hours later.
Yeah.
If everybody followed the rules and it all came out instead of at 11 or whatever, it came out at 1 or whatever.
Yeah. And, some people might think it's a silly rule. Why not just let all the writers do it? And I was talking to one person in the PR business, and he was saying, if you're in a small market team where you have two or three people covering the team, maybe you let them. But when you have such a competitive market as Boston, there were 38 media members there yesterday, you're going to get to the point where people are just given play-by-play of every little thing that happens.
But that's what people loved when we were doing
it. I know, but you're going to get a lot of
We also screwed it up. Brady's not here. Yes. Oopsie.
Right,
I missed
exactly.
it. Brady is actually
I've
here.
Actually, I've come full circle on this. I used to think it was a bad rule. I now agree. I think it's a good rule. Not necessarily for that reason, though. I don't think there's anything – I don't think it changes based on the amount of people. I think that Andy's point, you get inaccurate information out there. I don't think
that's what I mean.
But I don't think that has anything to do with the amount of media people. It's something that's, it doesn't have to be an egregious error. It can be an innocent mistake. Tweet, Tom Brady's not at the practice, and all of a sudden 10 minutes later he walks out in the practice field. Oh, correction, Tom Brady's out there. Well, maybe somebody saw the first tweet and didn't see the second one 10 minutes later.
That's right.
So now you have misinformation out there, possibly.
Right. I think the point that this person was making, the more people you have, the more pressure it is to get stuff out and the more apt you are to make mistakes and not want to wait.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's true.
I think it is. You don't want to wait for
there's more competition. I agree with that. But I don't think that you're more apt to make mistakes because of the competition.
Right. Well, I think Fred's saying if you rush through and you don't double check yourself or whatever, there's a chance that you can.
You're missing my point. I don't think it's a mistake of carelessness. To right at the start of practice, Tom Brady's not out here. It's not because I want to be first. I got to be out there first. He's not out on the field. But practice really hasn't started yet.
Right.
And maybe a half hour later, for whatever reason, Tom Brady comes out. Oh, Tom Brady's out there. The guy who's doing the reporting is accurate on both sides. But like I said, there's a possibility. Just wait till practice is over and then tell me who wasn't out
there. And file a practice report instead of an instantaneous update from practice. But my bigger issue is, with the reporter in question here, not only that he did it or that he even pretended he didn't know the rule, but in later blog entries, they put one up where they showed the video. The first line of that blog entry, to which he knew was wrong, now says, we were the first or we brought you the news that Wes Welker was out there here, here, and here. So he's accentuating
that
I broke the rule and I'm proud of it.
That's
what this leads other people to do? You got to break the rule.
That's right.
You know something?
He's
going
to do it again.
You have to.
He's going to do it again because there's no repercussions.
That's
what does he care that he was asked to leave practice yesterday?
He already had the story of the day.
Right.
Albert Breer on Twitter broke the story of the day that Wes Welker's at OTA.
And listen, I like Albert. I think he does a good job. I think he's a hard worker. I just don't agree with what he did in this case. I think it was an unprofessional thing to do, and I think that post that he put up today, or maybe late,
I think it was last
late
night,
last
like
night,
6-7 o'clock last
that
night,
that Andy's just referencing, I think is basically an
rubbing
FU,
the team's face.
An FU, oh, yeah. Patriots Media Relations Department.
Yeah, I'll do whatever I want.
I'll do what I want. I got what I wanted. I got my information out there, and I got all the pats in the back today. I was on NFL Network.
I'm the Globe.
I did this. I did that. That's all he cares about.
It's so
you know,
ridiculous.
And like I said, I think he works hard. He knows his stuff. I give you know, professionally, I don't agree with what he did in this. Personally, I like the guy.
So, well, it's unfortunate because it just makes it tough on everyone, and it, right. You know, now it becomes an arms race. You know, now,
and that's unless you really punish him, if there's some repercussion, if I'm Mike Reese, next time I have to tweet. I have to do it. I have to break the rule, not because I want to, because you forced me to with your rules that you did not enforce.
And you know, as the fans don't care. They just want the information as fast as they can.
Right.
So he actually did a service.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
You know.
No,
right.
for the fans' perspective, they don't care.
Right.
But they don't care who tells them.
Right.
As long as they
just
find out.
Know. Yeah. Next time, you know, June minicamp. Mike Reese should at 11:01 or whatever time practice starts. Logan Mankins is at his usual left guard spot. Tweet it.
Or he's not there.
Or he's not.
Probably
whatever.
More apt to be the case.
He has to do it because you've already proven that there's no repercussions long term.
It almost comes to the point where you just do not allow electronic devices into practice. It's
well,
gonna,
no,
it's
it shouldn't be that
crazy
because
that.
37 other members followed the rules.
Yeah,
one
you said
didn't.
There were 38 members.
Well,
out
the
there,
bulk
right?
of the media is responsible, professional, and intelligent enough to follow the rules. One person didn't. So why do they all have to lose out?
I'm just saying, if it became that arms race,
you stop it by punishing the guy who broke
exactly.
the rule. Everyone else showed they can follow the rules. They shouldn't be punished because technically, and I don't know exactly how Blackberries and all that crap works, you should be able to type it in and be ready to go so that when practice ends, boom, send.
That's what most of them do.
That's what you should be able to do. Or with a laptop. Have it in your laptop.
Have it in there.
Open out your little sprint thing.
Post.
Boom.
Right.
Post the blog. Now everybody else has to pay because of one nitwit who is better than everybody? That's ridiculous.
Can't disagree with that.
Thank you.
I think he should be suspended for the first week of training camp.
I agree with Paul.
Not allowed to attend the first week of training camp.
Because
and
this reporter specifically,
it
would bother him.
And that will put a stop to it because if everybody else hears that,
they won't
break the rule.
Right. And you're going to get caught.
Except Andy.
There's no way to not get caught.
And I also think the second time you break
that
rule. I'd
be checking the August weather and trying to schedule a week off. Fred, I can't go to practice. What's the point? I might as well stay home.
The second time you break that rule, your affiliation is barred. From a week of training camp,
right.
or whatever the case may be, a week,
right.
if it's during the season, a week during the season, you're barred from the locker room.
We could end up like the thing Borges wrote about in England, where the soccer team's own publication doesn't get to go to practice and press conferences.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine that if we got banned.
Yeah. That's we were included in that, right?
That's he goes, imagine Patriots Football Weekly not being allowed at Belichick or something.
Right.
Webradio at patriots.com,
508-543-7482
is the phone number. Right now on the phone, Tim is on the phone. He's in California, but he was born in Walpole. Hey, Tim.
Timmy.
All right.
Timmy.
He's gone. Doc lost another one.
How long was he waiting on
You'd
hold?
Be a good fisherman. You'd have a lot of, you know, I had him on the line, but I lost him.
How long was
he
waiting? I don't
have the patience to fish.
Doc.
You don't have the skill to fish. I'm just extrapolating based on your skill you're showing here.
Half hour.
Half an hour? Oh, no wonder why.
I kind of blame
Fred.
Well,
you know, this is, you know, we're talking.
We're talking.
You know?
We are an hour
Fred,
into the show.
Did you see the call on that to ruin the guy's perfect game?
I haven't seen the call yet.
Yeah, they're showing it.
It's a bad call.
Constantly.
Yeah,
terrible.
I mean,
so
the poor ump, he admits, he goes, I blew it.
You know
it.
What? I was so mad last night, and I was like, you know how I always bash the refs and the umps anyway. But then I heard the guy this morning, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? The guy knows he was wrong. He said he was wrong. You can't beat up on
personally him personally apologize to the guy?
He was in tears.
But so. can they actually reverse it?
They're talking,
well, they're
about,
talking
it.
About it.
Well, Phil at Austin says a good point on that. He says, Dear Roger, meaning Roger Goodell, so much for the argument that the NFL needs full-time officials. Sincerely, Bud.
That's a good point. Because everybody always says that that'll somehow solve something.
I never got that from the start. You know? Baseball, they ump every day. I mean, not once a week.
I know. Mark in Oxford, UK, great to see Wes Welker out there. Some people do heal quicker than others. Looks like this could be the case with Wes, barring any setbacks. Going with the whole British words thing to abuse each other, I suggest the word smeg. It's very useful. Smeg head, smeg off. It was made famous by Andy's BBC show, Red Dwarf. As one of your many fans over here in the UK, we are slowly being enveloped in World Cup fever, and none of you guys have mentioned the big game, USA versus England. Can you give your predictions for your loyal fans here?
England.
My big tip for the new season is a huge year
for
Seabass.
Keep your big tip to yourself.
He is the future.
He is.
No, I can't give a
prediction. US will beat England.
Really?
Yes.
I've heard a lot of controversy about the ball not being true.
Well, they don't like the ball.
Why can't they have the same ball every year?
Because now you want to buy the new ball.
NFL has the same football.
This one only has 9 panels, not 14.
I just fast-forwarded the next 7 minutes in my head, and I'm laughing to myself. Go ahead.
The NFL has the same football year in and year out. Why can't they use the same soccer ball?
Well, no, they had complaints. Remember a couple of years ago there was a strike or something, and the balls were made differently in a different place with less humidity, and the balls were different?
Okay, well, but that's not an occurrence that happens every year. It's not like every year they come out with a new NFL football.
Yeah, but they try to make it better.
Well, I think with the design, I think there's more liberty that you can just make the design of the ball. I mean, the size and the weight's always the same.
But they changed the ball. The panels is
different.
The number of panels are different, yeah. And they used heat fusing technology. And apparently, it's like a Bugs Bunny ball. Like, it'll be going and it'll just curve and knuckle and do weird things that players aren't. You can't have especially they only play every 4 years, right?
Right.
You can't ruin the greatest sports spectacular in the world with equipment that's not true, that's not fair.
Now, do they...
Well, after everyone's using the same ball.
That doesn't make it fair.
After
a crappy ball does not make it fair.
After the World Cup ends, do they, for the next 3.5 years or so, use that ball that was used at the previous World Cup?
And that's the other issue. FIFA has all these rules that they can't play on...
Oh, FIFA's ridiculous.
...field turf and all this, because they want but they got this ball that's stupid? Does FIFA do the World Cup?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, they do everything in soccer they oversee.
And it was too much about marketing and not enough about actually producing a ball, because they wanted the technology. They named it Jumanji or something, which means this, and it celebrates this. Well, how about just producing, like Eric says, the Duke, the Wilson ball that they've used for 700 years. It doesn't need to have this. It's like they treated it like a Super Bowl ring. Everything had to be symbolic, new, bigger, different, better.
I guess people collect balls.
I'm really impressed at your knowledge of soccer balls, Andy.
Well, I just read one story on it, but it's ridiculous.
I was actually thinking how the listeners are probably so happy because they found a way to shut me up.
I do have to say,
talk soccer for 10 minutes.
Back in the day, the last time the World Cup came to the United States in '94,
yep.
You know, they had all these soccer conventions here in Boston, and there was one I went to at the Heinz Convention Center, and they had all the wholesalers set up with their booths, and everybody's selling soccer balls, and you know, they're all different. And you can collect soccer balls, whereas, you know, a football's a football. But I think...
But there's never any controversy about it.
Right. No, I understand that, but...
Except when they went to Nike in college.
But
and
I think that's why they change up the look of the ball, is to have the official...
So what's more important, selling balls?
Well, that's an issue, but...
Or having a good World Cup.
But I told you I'd be laughing soon.
You asked why. That's why they come up with new ball.
Yeah, but the NFL should do it. They should come up with new balls every year.
You can put, like for the Super Bowl, they imprint the Super Bowl logo.
They do.
On the same football. It's the same football. They just imprint a new logo.
Right.
So for the World Cup, you just imprint or however they, you know, adhere
collectible balls and game balls.
Right. You affix the logo on the soccer ball, however it gets put on there, but it's the same ball year in and year out.
You should write into FIFA. Maybe they take your,
they're not going to take it.
And there's going to be now an 8-year span where an actual World Cup got played, because this one's irrelevant because the ball isn't fair.
Well, I think everyone's using the same ball. I think
but it's different every 4 years.
Let's not make too much out of it.
Oh, I'm all behind the players. They're complaining.
You know, they play at different venues every 4 years, too. So.
Right, and FIFA freaks out and makes sure they're as...
I know, but...
I think England wins the game, too, by the way.
You do.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just assume America's not
Who's favored?
Good.
I'm not sure.
Going U.S. 2-1.
You're a homer.
Who's
you
better? Would. I mean, don't they have rankings for this stuff? If you guys can't give me that information, I mean,
ball expert.
I'm sure in England.
Who's better? I don't know anything about this.
I'm sure
this.
In England there's a line on this game because they bet on everything.
Yes.
So.
You got to bet 110 euros to win 100, however they
who's
work
the,
over
Who's
there.
The best team in the world?
I don't know.
Well, Italy's the defending World Cup champs.
But they lost to the U.S. last summer or this summer or something?
Yeah, it's always France, Brazil, Italy.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Germany.
England's not one of those?
They've been down.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the post-Beckham era?
Yeah.
So you're saying we got a chance?
We do have a chance, absolutely. Okay.
Especially with a ball that no one knows what it's doing. It's all over the place.
Well, you know, you talk about the football.
One bad bounce is a goal, you win.
It's like a wiffle ball.
The Nike football in college, you see the ball. You didn't use the Bodden ball in high school,
in
did
Super
you?
Bowls.
Well, they
playoff games and Super Bowls.
Yeah. Did you use that in Super Bowl? That goes back that far?
Might have been early on.
Because you know you're only 9 years younger than me.
Yes, I do, until tomorrow.
Right.
You're still 100 pounds heavier.
happy birthday, by the way,
and
Paul.
And a full head balder.
100.
Pre-happy birthday. Have you heard news of this grandpa bandit who's been robbing all these banks? He's like a 50-year-old balding gray fat guy.
He's such a jackass.
I was like, Paul's robbing banks? What the hell?
He thinks of this stuff on his own like as he's driving home.
I was listening to BZ the other night on the way home, and they were talking about it. I go, wow, Paul's robbing banks. I said it out loud like we were on the radio.
And we were joking that all the robberies were occurring between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's why he's late.
Nano says, in your opinion, who committed the greater transgression? I think it's clear that Tomasi was much worse, but it seems like you guys are more upset with Breer than you were with Tomasi's Spygate reporting, except for Fred, that is.
But there were no rules against what Tomasi did. Tomasi was trying to break a story.
Tomasi was also let down by his editor.
He believed he was right.
Right. He thought he was right, but there was no rules
Breer
saying...
knowingly broke a rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's...
You know, the magnitude's a little different.
It's not a fair comparison. It's apples and grapefruits. I mean, Tomasi made a mistake.
Grapefruits.
That...
Orange is out of season.
You drink what you like, I'll drink what I like.
But I'm trying to make the point that it's not really even close. It's not even apples and oranges. This is like...
How about watermelons? Bigger. They're really big.
Yeah, okay, fine. But Breer broke a rule.
I'm sorry, what was your point?
Breer broke a Patriots rule, like a Patriots media rule. It didn't impact the Patriots really negatively in any way, shape, or form.
It impacted the media.
Tomasi's story, obviously... negatively impacted the Patriots.
But Tomasi didn't write a rule that was written and handed out amongst the rules.
Tomasi didn't really break any rules. Tomasi had a story that he was let down by his source and his editor.
He broke the rule of good journalism.
Right. Right. But that's not handed out to you when you walk into the media room at Gillette Stadium like the rules of covering practice are.
Right. But
he got let down by his editors.
His editors should have been source. Are just as at fault as Tomasi was.
He was told something.
I would say more
to be false.
In this case, Breer acted as a rogue tweeter.
As a what?
Rogue tweeter.
Rogue. I like how you said that.
Peter in Northern Ireland. Hey, guys, just my 2 cents on the Brady deal. I think it's all smoke and no fire in this case. I mean, wasn't it Michael Silver who broke this? There is no chance in hell we don't re-sign Brady. Why try and lowball the second best player in the sport at the risk of becoming a mediocre team? And what is there really in it for Brady moving elsewhere? A whole new playbook, a new town to move his family to, and let's be realistic.
A lot of money.
How much more money does the guy need? To me, this could even be smoke from the Brady camp to drive up his price. Anyway, great show.
Well, the how much more money, I say that about everybody. It's irrelevant. That's the way it works. Everybody wants more money. If you have 900 million, you want a billion. If you have a billion, you want two. Although, what did that guy tell me that I saw in that special about rich people? After you get past 500 million, you really don't notice the difference.
Well, the other thing...
Listen, I understand that whole mindset, and I don't like to use the real world, but I mean, who among us wouldn't want to be paid what we felt we deserved? You know, if you feel that you're the best in the world at whatever it is you do, wouldn't you want to be paid among the best in the world?
Sure.
Or if you thought you were the very best, more than anybody in the world at that vocation. And I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And it's not.
And
just,
I don't even know that Tom Brady's looking for whatever. I have no idea.
And it's not just that. Paul brought up the fact that now he's a union rep, something he wasn't before. And as a union rep, you kind of have an obligation to drive the hardest deal you can for other guys.
He's talked a lot about it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He has firmly entrenched himself as a union man these days.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of these paper titles that, you know, they wanted to... you know, a high-profile player to be a union rep just to make it look good. I think he's really behind it.
I mean, if you wanted to, you could do... I was laughing this morning because they do the L.A.-Boston tail of the tape that they always do to start a finals, which are stupid.
Edge.
But you could do Brady circa 2003 and Brady circa 2010 in a lot of categories. He's had some major changes in his philosophies, priorities, all these things that he's talked about with family, money, union, off-season workouts, contract, all these types of things. He's a different guy now, and so he's not going to be necessarily the guy who took $60 million when he maybe could have got 100. Now the guy wants whatever.
What do you think the University of Hawaii baseball coach makes?
whatever it
more
is,
than
it's
us.
Too much because he's coaching baseball in Hawaii.
I just figure I'm
Paul,
watching,
you do that for free, right?
Yeah, I'm watching the start of the Women's College Softball World Series, and Hawaii's there. And I was just thinking, that, you know, I've thought about my dream job a lot.
Yeah.
Coaching baseball for the University of Hawaii, being the manager, I don't think I could get any better than that.
No, that'd be
long
pretty good.
Long plane flights, though. Do you play away games, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
The football
sure.
team does.
No, I know. But
so why wouldn't they?
Would football you do, team, you only play 10 games, so you might have 5.
You'd probably have a lot of home games.
Would you do that? Would you do something like that, Eric?
Coach sports
yeah.
in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Sure.
You get a lay.
I thought for sure it was going to be a Rainbow Warrior joke. He button-hooked me there. I saw the joke coming.
No,
I just
don't
didn't
do
see
those
the right
jokes.
One.
You do those jokes. I don't do those jokes.
Baseball associate Eric. Coach makes between $39,000 and $60,000.
Fine.
That's the real coach? Associate coach?
Which doesn't have a head coach. It's just associate and assistant.
Huh. Is it fine, though? Make, gotta I mean, be some, no, that's not fine in
36
Hawaii.
$36 to $50.
Isn't a gallon of milk like $7 or something?
In Hawaii,
and,
yeah, I don't think
cost
that,
of living
I don't think that would
high.
Go very far
Everything
in Hawaii.
Has to be imported in.
But what do you need, really? You probably get free food in the
you
calf.
You can drink coconut milk.
Don't need as many clothes because
right,
it's warmer.
You don't,
I gotta find so a way have, to you get know. My support my kids.
Oh, you think your family's going to move to Hawaii with you? I don't think Beth and
Jeez,
the kids are all that interested.
That would be a really hard sell, huh?
Yeah. Football coaches do
Listen,
well.
Hun, we're going to move to Hawaii. Well, yeah, oh, there's football. No way I'm going to go to Hawaii.
That's
huh?
thanks to June Jones who put him back on the map.
What's the football coach makes? Yeah, but I'm not qualified to coach football. Andy, you could do that.
Coordinator
Neither
makes...
of us are qualified for either job.
Oh, I could absolutely manage a college baseball team.
No, that's different. I think you could do the job, but when you went to the whoever you apply to that for and you go, I was once an assistant high school coach for 3 weeks in Massachusetts.
He's a Hall of Famer.
First of all, I coach baseball.
And then he plays some tapes of this show.
I coach.
Right. Here's my resume reel.
For the last 15 years, I've been BSing on the internet.
I didn't say that on paper I could get the job. I said I'm qualified for the job. I could handle the responsibilities of the job.
Well, then I'm qualified to be an NFL
Obviously,
GM.
Obviously, I couldn't walk into... I probably would have a hard
a
time getting
my chest.
A high school varsity Apple job today. Right now. I haven't coached in 10 years. More than that.
What's the Hawaii guy make?
13
football.
Years.
The football associate coach makes between 66 and 125.
What's his name?
I don't know. This is just a salary range site. The coordinators make between 65 and 117. And
why don't you look up PFW editors and assistant editors, what they're supposed to make?
Let's see if it's accurate.
Let's see how much we're getting screwed.
Maybe you're not.
All of a sudden, the show goes dead. We just walk out.
hey, girl.
Cormac writes in. He says, Fat Freddy, Eric the Viking, Pertly Paul, Andy
Pertly?
The Studebaker, Dr. Jason Medicine Woman, and Toyota My Brakes Don't Work Tacoma.
Like
how
Dr.
are we
Jason
all?
Medicine
I haven't written in a while, but have been listening to all the podcasts and admiring from a distance, similar to those two crazy guys who sit in the box at the theater and the Muppets and
Statler
watch
and Waldorf.
What's going yep. on and shout down profanities from afar as Piggy and Kermit.
Punch I thought he was going to say similar to Andy and Paul and their Kelly Pickler at Media Day.
Anyhow, I've
she's going to be at Gillette Stadium on Saturday, Fred.
Kelly Pickler?
Yeah.
You going to be there?
I was actually thinking Paul and I should come and bring the photo and
ask her to sign it.
Yeah. Oh, so come, you're I'm the like, creep.
Oh.
Anyhow, I got a lot to say on several topics, so you might
it's
as
called
well
called a homonym, Paul.
Tuck into your lunch. Okay. He says,
what is wrong with him?
After the biblical incident, it also finally prompted me to sign up for the international subscription for
Yay!
PFW.
Yay! Why didn't
Fred,
you
I got to hand it to you. We're in double digits now. Yeah. We're plus
marketing
double digits.
Genius.
Right. It's terrible. I
biblical
never
incident, I like to.
I never it done it before, but to be fair, I did try 6 months ago, and there was some glitch on the site. It told me,
Thanks,
and
Chris.
I just never tried again. Anyhow, it actually worked this time. However, it told me that I'd get an email within 24 hours with my
Merry
login
Christmas.
Details, but it has still not arrived. I
checked Ferreira!
I checked my spam folder, but nothing. I subscribed over the weekend. Any strings you can pull to end... To get me a response.
Look into that, Fred. Carol. Put an end to that immediately,
well,
Fred.
Carol is at the Red Sox today. So that may be the issue.
Funnily, from the Biblical Incident podcast, I actually found another of Fred's comments the most hilarious. It was when he said that Eric was really pissed when he heard that there was a worldwide problem with priests abusing kids, the reason being Eric didn't feel special anymore, and he wasn't the only one who'd been kept back after Sunday school for some extra attention.
That was a good
you
one.
You said that on the air?
He did.
He did. I remember.
You were here.
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
He missed the biblical incident.
It was very funny.
Eric wasn't there at the time. Oh, but I just didn't want to let that line die without Eric ever knowing it. Classic Fred again. It's funny how it's the Bible Star Wars reference that gets Fred in trouble.
Right.
Eric's just
well, and as we pointed out many
times, disappointed in you, Fred.
That was also the episode that we discussed at length, Andy's nocturnal emissions.
Right, and what they smell like.
That was a big show.
And the thing that got us in trouble was the comparison to Star Wars.
Fred, you asked the PFW listeners what they thought of this idea of creating a social forum for PFW-only subscribers. I posted about it on the PFW forum, and in the main, I got to tell you that the responses were negative. An obvious issue is that people who don't subscribe to the paper probably make up at least 50% of the PFWinProgress.com users, so these people were against it.
That's the problem.
Since I've subscribed, that's not an issue for me. The issue would more be that it's nice to have an independent fan site run independently from the Patriots organization. I guess I feel that we can pretty much say what we want and feel free about it, knowing there's no corporate enforcer ever lurking that could close the site down or censor what was being said.
Don't worry about that.
I guess the
if
final
that were the case, we would have been out years ago.
There's no way we would still be here.
I guess the final point is if it ain't broke, and well, seems like PFWinProgress.com is doing pretty well thanks to the great work of James and the users of it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Hey, it's just my two cents. I thought more people would have written in with their thoughts on it by now. A couple other things. Here's a random question I've never known the answer to. Why is the outer lineman referred to as tackles and the inner as guards? It seems that the outside guys are more guarding the quarterback, whereas the guys who line up either side of the center facing the defensive tackle or tackles should be tackles too. Anyway, I'm probably being dumb, but I thought I'd ask.
There's a lot of those.
You know the origin of that?
Tackles don't tackle anybody. Why are they called tackles?
I thought the guards were guarding the center. The football. What are the tackles doing?
From inside out.
Yeah.
But what are the tackles doing?
Why are they tackles?
Tackling the outside linebackers who are trying to rush the quarterback.
Might have something to do with rugby.
If you're Matt Light, you're just avoiding the right side.
Because you can't play there.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally,
and Fred, bench, the two-way water, days, tackle anybody who wasn't there?
When they change something, tackle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wide tackles.
Finally, Fred, I'm delighted to see so many Irish people continue to write in. Please encourage people like McKay and Peter in Northern Ireland and the rest of the Irish lads to go to PattyPatriots.com. The site was down for a while, but it's back up again, and we need all Irish Pats fans to go there and register. We're the only Irish fan site for an NFL team, and that's pretty cool.
Maybe we can bring the Irish together, the Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland.
Yeah. You know what? I often thought of that. Andy Hunt.
We bridge gaps.
Would be the guy to get that
done.
He
can be our ambassador for that effort.
If they hate me, they're united in something.
If only Jimmy Carter had him with, Sadat and Begin?
Right.
We wouldn't have taken all that time.
Right.
Who?
Never mind.
Before your time.
Sinatra Begin?
No. Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin.
Why are we making
Not even vaguely familiar to you?
No.
Wow.
You went to Tufts.
Wow.
Camp David Accords, the three of them at the handshake.
Honda Accords?
Oh, my God. Serious question, Paul. It's unreal to me. I'm saying this a little tongue-in-cheek,
but
it's a serious question.
I'm a little surprised that Fred didn't give me a good Paul for that, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I think Fred's never heard of him either. It's just keep it quiet.
Please.
Why is there no grass
Please,
on the
Please, I know everything. I'm Fred.
Women's softball.
And yet they still play ball.
They play ball.
And they do. Yeah. Why is that?
That's a good heterosexual joke from you, Eric. I enjoyed it.
That was good. Oh, you didn't have a serious aspect to that, did you?
I did, actually.
Softball's played on a skin field, basically.
We got softball on a skin field?
Wow.
Hey, now.
So.
You've really lost control of your minions.
Oh, God. I skinned my pecker.
Well, we gave an hour and 15 minutes. Yep. We got nothing left.
Are there a lot of emails or none today?
Yeah, we've read two.
there's a lot of
Anybody emails. On hold for 45 minutes?
No.
Any more camp observations?
A lot.
I got one.
A lot of rotation?
A lot of rotation, specifically at outside linebacker. I thought there was not really a trend, and it wasn't like the starters, quote-unquote, were jogging off. Like Will Fork's group didn't jog off with Banta Kane and Burgess. They were rotating almost independently of other positions, and it was Burgess left, Banta Kane right, then those guys switched, then Crable, and they were
Ninko
all,
was in
all
mix.
Over the place. And at cornerback, Butler and Bodden, I would say, were the quote-unquote first group, but McCourty getting some serious run rotating through that group. There may be an early sign that he's going to be very much in the mix for playing time ahead of
Wheatley and
Will Hite. We've said
not on special teams.
And we've said this from the moment they drafted
not
him.
Not as a gunner.
They did not draft Devin McCourty to be a special teams player. Okay? So this is not stunning to anybody.
No.
He's going to be
a
cornerback.
I'm mildly stunned.
If he started right from the get-go, I would be stunned. That would be surprising
especially
to me.
Especially since I thought Butler played pretty well last year.
But I'm saying I expect him to be in the rotation. I expect him to be in the fight for significant playing time quickly. Maybe not week one, but quickly.
Right.
And they did not draft him just to be the best gunner in football. I mean, he's going to be a defensive back.
That's already Deion Anderson. Is that his name? Fullback for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Thomas Williams playing fullback in some running downs. He's, of course, the linebacker wearing number 48 in blue.
Confused with Bruce Davis or...
Who I often melded together as one player. Yeah, Bruce Davis. He's
Bruce
now
Thomas.
With the Broncos.
Do we mention Patty
Thomas
Chung wearing the red non-contact jersey in a non-contact practice?
I think we might have quickly, but didn't really get into it.
Yeah.
And
he didn't have it on
problem.
Last week, so it happened between last week and this week, right?
A wrist problem based on...
Because he was out there last week,
of course. Is correct.
Because he's a developing player, not a starter like James Sanders.
Brian,
but last week they only had the T-shirts. They didn't have the jerseys.
Have a red T-shirt on.
They don't have red T-shirts.
Welker and Moss do. They hang out from under their jerseys.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to Moss, too. Just ridiculous how good he is. Like, how much he stands out as, by far, the best on the field. Like, Brady is a Hall of Fame quarterback who you don't watch practice and just go,
wow.
Wow. Moss, you watch run three routes, catch three passes, and go, wow.
Just tell him we said what's up, man, and we appreciate the support.
Re-goddamn-diculous how good he is.
What was he doing?
What was that for?
Making
running
effortless
routes.
Catches.
Yeah, the hand catches, the soft hand. He beat Bodden one-on-one on a
sideline
toe-tapping.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
Hands reached out, fingertip, it's in my hands. I don't even need to bring it into my body because, damn, I'm Randy Moss. Mm. And that's against Lee Bodden. That's your best corner. That's probably a top half of the league starting corner. And first day one, makes it look easy and just go about my business.
Yeah,
he also screamed a vulgarity at somebody at one point. But
three questions, too, at the end.
Yep.
Actually, he gave four.
He
though.
Did give four, sort of.
And three you can see that on Patriots.com.
Yeah. You can?
Yeah, we have that on Patriots.com.
Got a Patriots today?
We got a lot of stuff on Patriots.com.
A new host.
Today. We got Welker. We got excellent video of Welker. We've got the Moss interview.
Excellent video.
And the debut of the new host of Patriots Today.
Mm. Have you been?
Not yesterday.
Ogling her?
I didn't see her.
Oh, I did.
Oh, she not on yesterday?
I didn't see her.
Oh, then
she was out of practice.
We just let a cat out of a bag.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's
you know another name for a cat.
Hamana.
She's out there.
Yeah, but I don't think she's on. She's not.
Well, she just did something coming off the field with Brian Lowe and all the other guys.
Oh, maybe there's something
guys,
today. You can see the new host.
Yes,
hostess.
Lindsay,
she's a looker.
Right? Lindsay is her first
yeah.
name?
That's looker.
Lindsay Lowe? No.
I don't know. She was in the Kraft Sports newsletter.
Lindsay Petrini or something like that. Lindsay. Her first name is Lindsay. I forget her last name.
A brunette.
Okay.
Very nice.
Brian in Tuscaloosa, it's been a while since writing, but I couldn't ignore the fact
the show,
that BFW
so
material
could.
Was stolen again.
When?
This time by Michael Silver of Yahoo. His whole article about the possibility of the Patriots and Brady parting ways is nothing new to anyone that actually listens to PFW. You guys are ahead of the curve as always.
Yeah.
The show is great when off track, so I'll hit you with these four points. Fred, you're crazy if you think 1 second of the new Star Wars trilogy is better than the original.
Thank you.
Paul, the Lost finale was a split down the middle. You either loved it or hated it. I loved it. Andy, you had me in tears in my cubicle describing your underwear disposal method. And Eric, you work in the Mecca. Stop whining about the hardships of interviewing Kevin Falk and being abused by Billy B. I work two jobs to support the family I rarely see. You've got it good, girl.
I didn't really know what the first part meant, but I like the last part.
No reaction. Eric is just...
Eric, did you know Rihanna collaborating with Eminem on his new album?
No, didn't
has
know
one of the songs she...
She's back, huh?
Apparently. Also Pink. Which tells me one thing.
Pink is collaborating with Eminem?
You know what that tells me. However you want to...
Going to be swearing a lot?
No, however you want to term it. Jump the shark, sold out.
Oh.
Eminem is now that.
Yeah.
His last album sucked. It didn't sell like
so
his previous.
Bring in the,
now he brings in pop stars who he used to absolutely shred in his raps.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure Pink is one of those that he
went after.
Went after hardcore, and now he needs their name power to sell his, to go mainstream with his albums.
Okay, there you have it. The rap world from Indy Hart.
We were not a lot of topics today.
This is the 120
Indy Hart, host of rap sessions.
Brought to you by, while we're at it, one more time.
The Mathematical Society of America.
Wet dream odors. Have you noticed there's trees that smell really bad like that?
Yeah.
What are they?
It's not trees.
My wife and I refer to them as spunk trees.
No, I know what you're saying.
Whoa.
They're, it begins with an L, I believe.
I have no idea. They smell like...
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And they're like, if one tree, if one house has one, the whole neighborhood will
get a very pungent odor.
Yeah. And it's like when I walk by the hamper after one of my things.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It is. There's no doubt that it is.
Who farted?
My wife agreed.
Nice that Doc is participating today. He's made me laugh a couple times.
No, it doesn't smell like a fart in any way. Well, forget it. I won't go down that road.
Dropped pop-up and foul touch.
John, there's a line I won't cross.
John has been emailing a lot lately.
And commenting to the blog as well.
Yeah. It's great to hear
John
about Welker.
Or LA?
John and Lynn.
Lynn.
I won't have to say how
he
bounced back.
John. Thought he pulled out a Lynn. Out a Lynn. Now he's in Sharon.
It's great to hear about Welker. I won't ask how he bounced back from major surgery in 3 weeks. Maybe Sean Crable should bunk with him, if you know what I mean. In Paul's calls, Darius Butler says, you can't have too many cornerbacks, and maybe he's onto something. Since we usually draft 5 or 6 DBs, I mean douchebags, a year and don't have a pass rusher, why don't switch to the 110? We'll fork at 10 defensive backs who can swarm the ball, so we'll give up a few 10- to 15-yard running plays, but at least we won't be torched by guys like Chad Henne for 60-yard chunks at a time. Maybe it'll produce some interceptions. Last time I joked about moving to Sharon, which got me to thinking about how if Eric moved to Athol, also Andy could move to Blandford for his diet to reduce the orange fire water
Eric
situation.
Athol.
Fred could move to Belchertown for obvious reasons. And Paul should live in Peabody because he's always peeing. He does live in Peabody.
That's true.
I think he knew that.
I do, too.
Is there not like a Fatsburg or a Portleyville or something? No, you didn't think that's where that was going when he said it?
I had no idea. I was letting John go where he wanted to go.
Oh. It's a blast from the past. You been keeping in touch with him? Wasn't that a two-gender laugh? What was that soundbite you just played?
Yeah, how's his...
Billy Madison.
How's his soda selling business going?
Sounded like two gender.
I don't know.
Parties, he goes, I'm in soda.
The beverage biz.
I'm in soda.
We should start calling him Bubbles. James from Brisbane, Australia. I worked out that this week I will have been one. It will have been 1 year since I started listening to your show, and I'm proud to say I haven't missed a second since.
Nice.
Sometimes to the detriment of my studies.
Young man!
But what does that matter? I'm only going to be a teacher. Anyway, so I guess Australia is the same as the United States in that regard. Anyway, I wanted to say how great it was to hear Wes Welker's running back running at 75% this week. It's a nice motivator for me.
It goes. The prostate just kicked in. He's running for the bathroom.
That's why he's from Peabody.
It's a growing problem.
Jeez,
it really is.
So bad I can taste it.
It's his 125 urination.
Yeah, he can't make it through a two-hour show.
I don't believe. Just gets up and walks out.
He leaves.
It's a nice motivator for me since I'm having basically the same operation in a week and a half after semester finishes, though I feel I must be realistic here. I'm scared that he'll push himself too hard and wind up redoing the ACL, and that will be it. If he's healthy and confident, then great, but let's not push it. By the way, how's Paul's ankle going?
It's good.
It was his Achilles.
He got up awful fast from his chair just then.
He did limp, though, as he was trying to run through there.
He's been rehabbing. That's why he missed practice yesterday.
He had to go to the bathroom. Speaking of Paul, we have an email from Paul's Boot.
Paul's Boot?
Paul's Boot has emailed in.
What's it a boot?
He says, hi, guys, and keeper of the boot. Paul's Boot here chiming in. Just wanted to tell you guys that I am sure glad that the keeper, a.k.a. Roly-Poly Paul Perillo, has taken me off of his foot. I couldn't stand all that strain he was putting on me, but I do question why he has placed me on the mantle and talks to me every day, something or other about a Bledsoe or something like that. Then he goes on about how he's going to seek revenge on three people or something like that. It's kind of scary when he talks to himself. He keeps saying after a statement that that's exactly what I was going to say. I think he might have a couple personalities. And trust me, I felt every one of them when he had me on his foot.
You were horrible.
Anyway, I need to get back on the mantle before the keeper gets back and does his daily rituals with me. Someone please save me and tell me who this Bledsoe guy is.
Wow.
Sincerely, Daboo.
I don't want to tell you how to
That's
host
funny
a show.
Those guys.
Shouldn't Paul have been here for that email?
It would have been funnier to hear his reaction. Now he's coming back in. You just missed a very funny email at your expense,
which was
Paul.
To you, but Fred didn't wait till you were actually on the show.
Yeah. It's typical Fred.
No, it was your boot emailing in. Your boot emailing in.
What?
The email was from Paul's boot.
Paul's boot?
Yeah.
Boot. Your boot. You know, he was thanking God that he's finally off your foot. There was so much pressure on him, and
right.
He's on the mantle.
And then you talk to yourself, and at the end of your argument, you always say, that's what I was going to say.
Well, by the way.
Well, I was going to say.
It's a good thing that we had to go around that.
Nobody
that
out there?
There's
nobody in there.
Literally nothing in there. Not nobody. There's nothing in there.
Where are you getting your information
Paul's
from?
Talking about the Taylor Swift concert.
Never known those concerts.
Getting ready here.
Show
and
sometimes we own this building.
There's a big room off of the producer cage that Dvorkin's in, and sometimes they make that the green room when the concerts are in here. And when they do, if you walk through there, they get all surly with you, like God forbid you're walking on their territory.
Especially if you're a Patriot player coming in to do an interview in the middle of the season.
Right. So we were warned that they might be doing that, but there's nothing in there. So
I was behind a bunch of Taylor Swift tractor-trailer trucks this morning.
Yeah.
They're taking over.
Wow.
If I see her, I'm telling her.
You're not telling her anything.
Annoying.
Rich from Howell says, today I just saw the video on Wes Welker. Very impressive.
Indeed.
Here, here, and here.
Yeah.
You heard it first on the Globe. Losers.
Strippers, it writes in with one World Cup line, and there's nothing in his email. So I don't know what happened to that.
England is down a point to the U.S.
What do they mean, down a
the
point?
U.S.
The line.
So the U.S. is favored by a goal? Wow.
Go.
I'll take the goal.
Ross in London, just so you guys know, the bookies' favorites are Spain, narrowly followed by Brazil, England, and Argentina. Oh. Are some
England is one of the four biggest favorites to win the World Cup, and they're underdogs to the U.S.?
Yeah, they're some way off as joint third, and then there are teams like Italy, Holland, and France. The U.S. team does have a good chance against England, and they should both qualify for the knockout stages ahead of the other teams in the group.
I got to go upstairs and talk to my soccer guys. I'm getting nowhere fast with
How
this.
How is England
show.
A favorite to win it all but not to beat America?
Not to beat the U.S.
Stretch my back with Axel, Taylor Twellen.
Is that real? Is that a real call from
Is that a Bradley
our
Feldman?
Our boy actually used the guy's What's line from Pittsburgh.
Scratch my back
with a hacksaw. That's
Who's our guy? Myron Kuyp? Cope?
No, that's Brad, isn't it?
No, he's saying, you said from Pittsburgh.
You said he stole
it
from somebody
our
else.
Guy, Brad. Well, you say he stole it from the guy from Pittsburgh that does the Penguins games.
Oh, that's what I was asking.
That's the only time I ever heard him
Super
say
Super Mario, Michael, motorcycle. He does beat him like a rented mule. All of those is the Pittsburgh guy.
Oh.
Wow, I didn't know. Alan from Scotland. Hey, guys, and Andy, just letting you know that Spain.
At least I don't wear a skirt.
Spain is the pre-tournament favorite for the World Cup, according to the British bookies. Not quite sure of the odds on that. It depends on which bookmaker you use. Brazil are the second favorites. Italy, defending champs, but they have no chance. And France aren't as good as they used to be. Being Scottish, I hope the USA kicks England's ass. And England are not that good. They struggled to beat Japan in a friendly game last week where they needed two own goals to come from behind to win. USA has a decent chance of at least getting a tie against England, and I think they will at least get out of the group they're in and get to the second round.
And no Beckham, right? He's still got the...
No Beckham.
P.S. The love the show, injury. And I'm happy you guys actually spent an hour talking about the Pats.
Does that mean 15? Japan scored
on themselves
twice?
Yeah.
Well, at least half the goals in the World Cup will be own goals.
What a terrible sport. Plus, what did we say? Who was the guy? Aladioni
or
something?
Hospitalized for the...
Sprained ankle?
Yeah.
Altidore.
Altidore or something like that?
Jose Altidore.
Sprained ankle.
Okay. He's
hospitalized. Paul walked around on a torn Achilles for weeks.
3 weeks he did.
And he's not even a football player.
Wes Welker's out there running and making cuts.
I'm an old, fat, out-of-shape blob.
Right.
And I walked around for 3 weeks.
Can we keep that?
Larry says to
what,
Andy,
you don't have that already? You haven't said that 17,000 times?
No, but it's you saying it.
What's the difference?
Yeah. It's, you know.
Larry says
funny
to
when
Andy,
you say
what
it about
did
yourself.
You study at Tufts? How did you get in? Who did you know? Your general knowledge is so poor.
All very, very fair questions.
I got in because it was a cakewalk. Who did I know? Nobody.
Brooklyn Matt, first.
That's
Andy,
it. That's all you got.
First, I majored Andy, in English. Well, I started in engineering. Was Dean's List in engineering? Then was Dean's List in English.
First, Andy admits he's never heard of Anwar Sadat or Menachem Begin, and he's a college graduate. Then goes on an informative monologue on the latest collaboration between Eminem and Rihanna. As a 17-year independent record label owner here in New England, I'm beside myself. I love the offseason.
I thought he was from Brooklyn.
He is. He's from Brooklyn.
He said he was an owner of a label in New England.
Well, Andy was doing research for his rap session show that's going to debut on Patriots.com next week.
Did you read that wrong?
Andy Hart's rap session.
Let's
get
see.
Well, girl.
Andrew and
Eric will be my first guest.
As our resident Rihanna expert.
Andrew in the Ukraine, I would like your comments on 4th and 2 if it were to happen this year. For full disclosure, my premise may be flawed
because hope it doesn't.
I might have misremembered the personnel. If I remember right, it was Moss, Welker, Aiken, Watson, and Falk. Let's assume that Welker has a setback and is not available. I think we still have a better grouping this year if we went with Moss, Edelman, Holt, Gronkowski, and Hernandez with no running back. Here's my idiotic logic. Moss would be about the same, and certainly Edelman will not be Welker, but probably better than he was last year. Holt is a definite upgrade over Aiken. Gronkowski is better than Watson, and Hernandez is faster than Falk with very good hands. Last year, 4th and 2 had two receivers with 0% chance of being targeted. Assuming you were the Colts, how would you defend this particular scenario? So we don't know yet if Gronkowski's going to be better than Watson.
I'm the biggest fan there is, and you can't just assume he's going to be better. He's never put a pair of pads on in the NFL.
I would say, just to answer the question, if it's the same exact situation, the game unfolded exactly the way it did in Indianapolis, I want to punt the football. I don't care what my offense is capable of. It wasn't because I didn't think they would get the first down. I didn't think that was a risk worth taking.
It's not the high
percentage. Even in New England, outdoors? Yeah. Late in the year, weather conditions?
Punt. I would punt the ball.
Yeah. I would punt every time.
More so if the weather conditions were involved and make them go 70 yards in bad weather conditions. Absolutely.
What if the wind was like it was in Buffalo?
I forgot to bring this up earlier. Teddy Bruschi bowled a perfect game this
week. Yeah, 300 in Attleboro.
And then joked that, forget 19-0, I pulled a perfect 300.
He did.
He did on ESPN. You can see the video on the ESPNBoston.com. He's a real bowler, you know, though. He bowls every week.
You'd have to be.
But he's like in a league.
I don't think you could get lucky and bowl a perfect game.
He turns down assignments from ESPN because it's bowling night. Like,
wow.
Bowls.
I want to see him in the bowling shirt. Is it like one of those polyester things with the collar?
Those are back. Everybody wears those now.
Which ones?
The bowling shirts.
That's because of what's his name.
You're right.
2.5 Men. He wears them every single show.
Charlie Sheen wears them. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, Fred. Those are. Eddie Gray, my old buddy from the Herald, was a huge bowler, and he had, I think he had 8 perfect games.
Is that right?
Under his belt.
Wow.
I think probably has more now. I think the most strikes I've ever had in a string.
We're 4.
Andy's suppressing a giggle because Ed Gray is the reporter from the Herald that came out, said he was openly homosexual.
No,
so,
I'm not.
So he has to like be the little school kid in the corner like,
see, you don't even know me. He's really gay. It's not funny.
You
it's
don't know
only
me.
Funny.
I know you far too well. Believe me.
There's nothing funny.
It's like when Fred, you know, dissected and analyzed my whole thought process 2 weeks ago. It's scary, but there's no one that knows me better than Fred.
Hamza in Toronto. Hey, Jake Steele, Roly Poly Perillo, Eric Axelrod, and Big Head.
Now you can call me Big Head because, you know, we've gone back and forth.
He says, are we cool now, Andy?
Yeah, we are.
That's what he said. Been enjoying the last few shows except for the end of Tuesday's show when you guys really brought me down with the Super Bowl 42 commentary. Not cool. I try very hard to not think
about
the game that shall not be mentioned. In fact, I cringe every time NFL Network shows that damn commercial with the Tyree catch with the music in the background. Makes me want to puke or maybe pull a Paul Perillo in a women's department store or on someone. So much for that phony 19-0 hat I pre-ordered before the game. Anyway, I've noticed Paul and Fred are starting to agree more and more lately.
It's frightening.
Usually taking sides against Eric or Andy, which of course means less shouting, which I'm all for. Gone are the days of Fred, you don't even believe your own crap anymore. You don't.
Oh, no. He still doesn't believe his own crap.
You don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
Wow, we got the whole word for word. Or maybe it's just because it's the offseason and Fred hasn't gone completely insane with his homerism yet. By August, I'm expecting Fred and Paul to start bickering again about whether the Patriots will win the Super Bowl by 40 points, Fred, or lose to the Bills by 3 touchdowns, Paul.
I'd never predict him to lose to the Bills.
He's going to argue
by
about
3
that.
Touchdowns.
Beat him 18 times in a row.
But it's really close.
And I've never said they're going to win by 40 points. It's all hyperbole.
Oh, no. You've said that many times. As a matter of fact,
don't take him at his words. It was a miraculous return. I didn't mean miraculous.
I could have Doc rattle off about 5 sound bites right now about raping and pillaging. Embrace the hate in
that's
08.
What I want to happen.
That's what you think is going
to
happen.
I do, however, have to agree with Paul on the ongoing Super Bowl location discussion. Seems like all the arguments in favor of Super Bowls in the North use the you're not a real man if you like football games that are, you know, played skillfully argument. Or the football is tougher than other sports because of the elements argument. None of these address the fact that the game itself is worse off in those elements. I think that attitude is all part of that whole tough guy, old school Dick Butkus era macho nostalgia that some fans have. Personally, I'd much rather see Brady or Manning or Breeze throw 4 touchdowns in the Super Bowl than watch games like the 08 Pats season finale against Buffalo. The fact is, even the Tuck Rule game was really boring and uneventful until the very end. Mm-hmm. I wonder how Pats fans would feel if the Patriots lost to a running team in the Super Bowl in 2014 because it was too much high wind and snow for Brady to be able to throw effectively. Bottom line, the era of 3-yard run in a cloud of dust being the dominant play of the NFL is over. And as a fan of the Bradys and Mannings and Mosses and Breezes of the world, thank God for that. Well, P.S., I like how listeners keep calling Paul out one after another lately. It's funny because in the silence that follows, you can literally hear him going from zero to hot. And I keep thinking, uh-oh, dear God, don't poke the bear. Just kidding, Paul, because I love you.
That is classic.
Oh, God.
Mike in Puerto Rico coined a nice phrase.
He did, zero to hot.
On, zero to hot.
But another email that flies in the face of the Len Pasquarelli, fullback is back, and Bill Belichick, everybody's a two-back team that we play.
Right, except for all the teams in our division that loaded up at receiver. including us, by the way, with 2 new tight ends and a wide receiver among our first, 5 picks?
And it's going to be spread, baby.
Brad in St. John, New Brunswick. Fred and those other guys.
Say NB?
NB, yeah.
Yeah, New Bedford.
There was like,
he was going to say New Bedford.
New Balance.
Right?
I don't know. Could be anything. Fred and those other guys. Who is the guy who thinks
Fred and those other guys?
Episode 4, 5, and 6 is superior in every way. It just looks like
that was Fred.
Just look at the lightsaber fights, especially Anakin versus Obi-Wan, episode 3. There's no comparison to any fight in the first trilogy. And great to see Wes on the field. He's right. I wish the effects that they had in the later ones they had in the early ones.
Yeah. But you can't.
You know?
The mentally weak are stimulated by the visual rather than the story.
Right.
I thought it was more realistic the first 3, 4, 5, and 6 because they had to use actual like props and things as opposed to the overly clean digital composition that they used in the new versions.
Right.
It looked more authentic to
me. CGI and filmmaking.
It did.
We're done with rap. We've moved on to the movie. And boy, they're really not going to like the last 25 minutes of this one.
It's a lot more authentic.
No, I just thought that even
much more realistic.
Even though you know
with
how
the Death Star flying over.
Even though you know how things turn out in 3, which is really 6 in some people's mind, the latest one they made, it was just an amazing movie. Even though
it
you
was
knew,
a good movie, but
just amazing.
Still,
I'm a different human being.
Paul in London says England are a half bet.
What does that mean?
It Anyone? Means you bet a dollar, you get 50 cents back.
Oh, so England's favored.
Yeah. USA are a 7-1 bet, meaning you bet a dollar, you get $7 bet. So England's a big favorite. Big favorite.
Certainly if England is one of the 4 biggest favorites to win the whole thing, the U.S. is not a favorite to win the whole thing.
England will wipe the floor with your country, 5-0 England. Oh, and Bert Breer is a douchebag.
I agree.
So. That would not bother me in the least. 5-0, I don't care.
They'll get a goal in the weird
I was
knuckle.
At the game where England came to Foxborough. We played England. We hadn't beat them since like 1930-something, and we beat them. Oh, man, were the England fans mad after that game. Oh, they were pissed.
Now, were those real England fans? Or
like, yeah, they. Well, I mean, they
from
were,
England?
They were, yeah, English speak, you know. With the accent and everything.
English speaking man.
You know, they had the accent.
Is this the man?
Other odds, this is for Paul. Apparently they think Paul's going to be laying down some bets.
No, I'm just curious because I know nothing about
Spain
soccer.
Spain is 4-1. England is 13-2. USA is 80-1 outright winners.
So they're markedly better than us.
Oh, yeah.
Do they rank? It's
32
teams,
this game won't
teams,
even
right?
be close then.
Is there a FIFA ranking? Like, are they slotted 1 to 32? Are they seeded?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure they have rankings. I don't know if they're slotted that way for World Cup purposes, but they have to have rankings.
I'll tell you, one thing the English love to do is they love to bet. They bet on everything.
But you go from 13-2 to 80-1. This game will be... Paul's prediction of 5-0 may be true.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
I still think we beat him.
Why?
What day is that game?
We're more spunky.
What day, what
we
day is
we smell
that
like those flowers, Andy.
Those spunk trees.
I don't know. When is that game, Doc?
June 11th?
The England-U.S. game?
Yeah.
Saturday, week from Saturday.
Week from Saturday.
Week from Saturday.
Saturday.
I'll watch that.
Now, are these all tape delayed, or how does that
probably
work?
Probably live.
No, they're live.
They're all live. Game. I think they're on in the morning, right? I think I heard.
What's the time difference?
Well, the time difference.
The U.S. England game is on at 2:30.
Well, I think they're on at either like
7 hours ahead of
10:30
us?
10:30 or
2:30. Like I think it's either 10:30. Is it 10:30 and 2:30, Doc? Is that right? Is that what you just said? 10:30 and 2:30?
Yes.
I would love to watch that game with the UK Pats fan club.
That would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
Get your ticket.
I would love to hang out with the UK Pats fan club.
Yeah,
me too. As long as I don't have to watch the game.
As long as there's velvet ropes between me and them, I'm
what if
good.
They're serving Miller Lights?
I'm all for it. Just don't make me watch the game. That would ruin my buzz.
You have to be in the same room where the TV is, though.
We can turn his back to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, just don't make me watch the game. I want to enjoy my Miller Lights with my UK Patriots fan club.
Okay.
You see the new Miller Lite Vortex bottle? I don't get it.
Well,
Is it supposed to do something? What?
Yeah, it's supposed to make the beer come out so that it opens up the flavor of it better or something. I don't know.
We were going to go drink.
When it comes out like a toilet bowl, it spins.
Sorry. That's what I like. I like my beer to come out a toilet bowl. What was that soundbite from, that we're going to go drink? What was the context of that?
I don't remember.
We were going to go drink. I forget. I don't know.
To get drunk.
I don't remember.
Mikey.
You were too drunk when you said it.
I've come to realize I talk an awful lot about gambling and drinking on this show. And I'm not really sure why, because I'm not a huge gambler or drinker.
Except when we're in San Diego.
Mikey Vandalism says, what's up, Doc, Fred, Andy, Eric, Paul, and not Tacoma?
Wow.
Oh, I'm boycotting sending my premium MP3s until I get an apology, because the last time Doc was out, I sent in an MP3 and Toyota blew me up for no reason. Wow. I keep all my MP3s under 2 minutes, so I thought it was absolutely unnecessary.
2 minutes?
Needless to say, I'm glad that Doc is back running the board instead of that incompetent slob.
Wow.
Well, I'm pretty sure you...
In Tacoma's defense,
incompetent slob is running the board.
That MP3 that he's referencing that got blown up, it needed to be blown up. It was really long, and he was kind of rambling a little bit, so I probably would have done the same thing.
Wow.
Sorry, Mikey.
Hey, whoa. Rushing to the defense of his protege.
It's one of his 25 employees.
Yeah. Underling.
26.
Right. Looking at the wide receiver position, do you guys really think there is a lot to worry about going into the season? With Moss in a contract year, one would think he would like to earn his last big payday and put up good numbers. Look at the last time he was in a contract year here in New England. He set NFL records and made it to a Super Bowl. With Welker working out at OTAs, I think this is a good sign. He is on schedule and could be ready. Add in Edelman's year two jump, coupled with solid productivity with Holt, Patton, Aiken. I think this receiver group looks to be very deep. Also factor in Tate and Price. How many wide receivers are they going to have there? Who could boom or bust?
Just that guy, remember, who always
plus
wanted
the tight
six
ends,
wide receiver
Brady
sets?
Will have the pick of the litter with his targets. My question is, most likely all 8 of these receivers will not be on the roster come opening day. So if you had to pick, which receivers do you think will be cut? Figure Moss, Welker, Edelman, or Locks. Holt seems like he would fit and brings a nice veteran presence to the offense. Aiken is your special teams captain. Keep in mind, Brady seemed to have a part in getting Patton back and seemed excited to have him back, so it also looks difficult to really get rid of any of these guys. Who would you pick?
Patton.
Well, I don't think Patton has much of a shot of sticking around unless there's injuries.
Yeah, I'd agree
with
that.
That's how I feel. I think they'll probably
too
go with,
does. Too much young talent.
They'll probably
they
go with
develop.
The younger guys.
Yeah.
One of them will get hurt. Somebody will be hurt.
Well, that's what I said, unless there are injuries. Tate.
Well, I don't think Patton
makes
it at all. I mean, unless it's – if he's just the fifth guy,
right.
Like there's 5 guys left after 5 injuries, okay. But
well, that's the only stipulation that would hold out. I agree with you. I don't think he's got much of a shot to
make
the team.
Some people who believe Brady's not a great quarterback believe Patton is getting closer and closer
to being a lock for the roster.
Oh, wow. I would disagree with that. And I also, you know, the whole notion of him, and we all say this a lot, too. This is not calling out the email, because I think we talk like this a lot, too. But, like, Price and Tate, they're boom or bust. Well, not really. I mean, what if, you know, they could just be average guys that, mm-hmm. you know, they have, you know, average careers. I mean, what if they like David Givens? Is that a boom? Or, you know, certainly not a bust, but, you know, they could go out and have a solid career and catch, you know, 30 passes a year. It's not a bust as a third-round pick. Both of those guys are third-round picks. I think if they
But is he talking about, average. Like, style? Like being deep threats, being big play guys and that kind of thing? That yeah. they're not route runner slot guys? That
Right, but, like, just let's just use Dante Stallworth as an example. Mm-hmm. What if they play like Dante Stallworth? I mean, it's a deep threat, but, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they only catch 40 passes a year. I mean, I'm not sure what their potential is because I don't know enough about either one of them.
There's a chance they'll both be on the team.
Price and Tate? Yeah.
I don't really.
Yeah, I do.
Especially with Welker back.
I think there's a chance that both of those guys
will they'll both see a lot of playing time, but I think they could both make it.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance it's one or the other. And maybe the other's on IR with something or whatever, but. I would be surprised, I think, if they were both on the team.
Hmm. Justin writes that.
Wait a minute. Let's get into the wide receiver.
Because first of all, how many do they keep? Six?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
six is a good number.
Especially with Aiken.
And I agree with the emailer. You have Moss, Welker, Edelman.
There's no discussion.
Okay. Right?
What? I wasn't listening.
Moss Welker, Edelman.
Edelman. Yeah.
Moss, Welker, Edelman. Yep. Lock.
I think Tate's a lock.
Well, Andy's saying no.
Yeah, but from what they're saying, I think. Tate's going to be on the
probably.
Team. And then I think Holt's on the team.
I think
so that's
on
your
team.
Six. So
that's
what six. About Taylor Price?
I don't know.
The Price is wrong.
See, put him on IR for a year?
I don't sure. think Tate's a lock, but I would certainly say that Tate and Price have a chance to be on the team together.
What if they kept seven receivers?
No one's a lock.
Well, maybe if Welker's healthy, maybe Holt doesn't make it. You know, we don't need him.
Certainly seems like he is.
Well, wait a minute.
I'd be surprised if he
was. We don't need him. We spent the entire year last year saying how we didn't have anything beyond yeah. Moss and Welker, and now we don't need the
and
guy.
Now, if Welker's okay, we're fine with Tate, Price, and, you know, and all these other.
Torrey Holt, even last year,
guys.
Disregard his 900 catches with the Rams. Just talking about last year is a far proven, more proven commodity than those other guys.
True.
He had a decent season on a bad offense with a bad quarterback. So he's a more proven commodity, and now you just want to, well, we'll just kick him to the curb. We don't need him anymore. Welker's healthy. I don't think so. And I think there is a chance if Welker's healthy, there might be an extra receiver for a little while.
Yeah,
we've seen them double up on something to start a year for a two-week span, a three-week span,
whatever.
If
Aiken stays, there's a good chance there are six other receivers
right.
in addition to him. Because they probably would like to keep him at this point. Keep him as a special teams guy.
Sure.
Who can always fill in a pinch if they suffer some injuries. But yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting. They have a lot of positional
Did you just
groups.
Get both those guys on there? I lost count.
No, I just.
Moss,
said,
Welker, Edelman, Locks, Holt, Price, Tate, Aiken would be the seventh. That would be a seven man scenario. I guess there's a chance they could both be on it. Did I leave anybody out?
But I agree with you in that. I don't think that. Those guys are locks. I think they have to earn a spot.
Justin writes in, I don't understand.
Alaska?
No.
Oh.
I don't understand. I keep hearing about veterans and other players like Algie Crumpley, Torrey Holt, David Patton coming to the team. I've been waiting to hear something about our draft picks, but all I've heard of is the signing of Taylor Price. Can you guys elaborate on Devin McCourty? Because it seems all of our two-plus rounders are getting all the coverage.
Well, I just said how he was rotating with Darius Butler opposite Lee Bodden, and it looks like he's going to be in the mix for a starting job based on the first 2 weeks of OTAs. Beyond that, I have nothing to offer.
Okay. Phil from Nova Scotia. Hello to Jake Steele, Portly Paul, Dandy Gayheart, and Eric Paxelrod.
That's I like the Dandy Paxelrod. Gayheart one.
Who's Dandy Gayheart?
Me.
Dandy.
Oh. I started watching football.
Is it that hard? My name is actually in there. The entirety of my name is in there.
And he didn't get into Tufts.
I started watching football 20 years ago, and in that time, the NFL has changed quite a bit. I often wonder how much it will change in the next 20 years. So if you like, here is an exercise to help get us thinking about the possible future of the NFL. Answer the questions using the following criteria.
Lasers.
Change in societal norms, player safety, and, of course, the most important one, revenue. Answer yes or no quickly as the questions are read, and then review later if you like. Within the next 20 years, the
yes.
NFL will, one, change the size of the field.
No.
No.
Have co-ed cheerleaders.
No.
No.
Have more than two teams outside the U.S.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Significantly loosen the rules about player celebration.
Yes.
I hope so.
Have more than 32 teams.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Play into the month of March.
No.
No. No.
Take HGH and marijuana off the ban list.
No.
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 Have the Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Have a Super Bowl in Foxborough.
No.
No.
Have a female player or coaching personnel.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll say yes too.
Ban alcohol at stadiums.
No. No.
Still be the only pro football league in the U.S.
They're not now.
They're not now.
They're, yeah.
No.
Still be the number one sport in the U.S.
Yes.
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 Make QBs untouchable.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And finally, help Eric get laid.
No.
No.
God couldn't do that. Neither can Goodell.
Goddell.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Baddell.
Those were good good options. Zach and Marlboro.
I didn't get the societal norms and...
Well, I think the female coach or personnel.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that there's...
There'll be an assistant coach.
And I think there's also a chance that you get a female kicker.
Well, I think...
But I think more likely an assistant
coach. I mean, you just had... It might be more than 20 years because you just had the first high school head coach in Washington.
Yep.
So maybe it'll take a little longer.
I mean, I could see female trainer real quick.
Well, they already have those.
Do they?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Trainers,
okay.
Yeah.
There's a hot blonde
head
one.
Trainer? That, you mean like the head? Yeah. No, that's not what I'm talking about, Andy.
But they, you know,
they're going to be trained to give.
You know, Division I colleges.
Don't
recently,
blow that job.
There's another one. Paul's going to be mad because he's trying.
No,
to.
No, no. I think that's. Unlike yours, that actually was funny.
Mine was funny too. You're still mad because you think Nick Cashier is an all-pro guard.
No, it's the opposite. You think that Mac Knight is incapable of walking to the right.
He is.
He is.
I don't think that. I
right.
Just,
going by what the head coach
I
told
don't
us.
Know. I'm like Peter. I don't know a lot, but people tell me things. I go with it.
When you choose to.
Zach and Marlboro says, Randy Moss for a first-round pick. Is it at all credible, and do you think it would be a worthwhile trade between the fired-up cap space and the talent we could draft? I would think it'd be
cap
worth
space?
Entertaining.
How do you have cap space
in an uncapped year?
I don't know what the cap space means, but if I knew for certain that I had some options, that you know, all these wide receivers that we just talked about, every one of them is a question mark. Welker, Edelman, Tate, Price, and even Holt. All five of those guys have serious question marks. If you're telling me that Bill, over the last month or, you know, and into the next 2 or 3 months as training camp gets here, if he's convinced that he has enough answers on those question marks, I would make that trade.
Most likely trade to happen.
I don't think they'll get a first-rounder for him, by the way.
Randy Moss, Matt Light, Tom Brady, Logan Mankins.
Most likely. That's a great question.
Seymour like. You know,
Matt,
you get near the
Matt
end.
Light.
Logan Mankins.
I'm going to go Mankins, but I think Matt Light's a good that, – that's a great question.
Thank you.
Listen, when credit is due, I far be it from me to – that's a great question. What do you think?
He wasn't listening. Most likely trade.
Now that is why Fred and I don't argue anymore.
To happen.
He's never listening.
Most likely trade to happen.
Yes.
Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Matt Light, or Logan Mankins?
I'd see Matt Light.
I'm going Mankins.
I think it's Light and Mankins. Those are the two guys. But yeah. I think I'm going to go with Mankins. I could see that
Mankins
being one
to
of those.
Broncos.
We'll show him. See ya.
Who did they draft? Didn't they need O-line help? Did they draft O-line?
They drafted Ted Larson.
No, you're talking about the Broncos?
Denver. Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Joe in Indy, another Indy. I don't know if he's a Colt fan, but he's in Indy. All this talk of Colts weather Super Bowls and cities that don't deserve them made me curious about what you guys thought of the upcoming Super Bowl in Indianapolis. It snows there, that's for sure.
Sure does.
It's very, very cold at that. You know, it's Indian Air.
How would you
point
out?
That's right.
You know, every time
you've
they
never
come
been
home
there
the
in
combine,
the winter.
Right.
You know, they're lucky to escape without frostbite.
I've never been able to attend the Super Bowl, but I assume it draws a pretty ridiculous amount of people for the week prior. And
sure
since
does.
Andy and Eric have a fair amount of Indianapolis experience, I wanted to know what they thought about Indy as a host city.
Love it.
I'm of the opinion that we're not nearly ready for what the event will bring, but excited nonetheless to experience it.
Well, I don't know if a city is ever really ready at the, in their first Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they're not. But Arizona was pretty good. That was their first Super Bowl, and we were there for that.
We love Indy as a city because
it's not big.
It's condensed. There's a lot of things you
can watch.
They're
going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They might be a little overwhelmed.
I think they're going to struggle. I agree with Eric, though. I don't think anybody's really ready the first time. I think that's a good point because I don't think you can really assimilate that.
Well, yeah, none of their
little conventions,
I shouldn't say little, none of their conventions, they do a lot of business, obviously, with conventions and cheerleaders and all the, you know, when we go there, there's many events.
And there's some that are bigger than the Super Bowl.
But the Super Bowl, well,
in terms of number of people.
See, I can't
imagine. How do you get the number of people? I'm not talking about going to the game or the teams. I'm talking about thousands of fans who just go down to celebrate the week.
Don't think of it in terms of 68,000 people descending upon a
city. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
It's two and three times that.
Yeah. So I'm not sure they're ready for that. And, you know, downtown is small with, you know, X number of hotels. There's going to be a lot of people from a lot of places all spread out. I don't know how the highways. I mean, there's not a lot of they have that road that comes in from the airport and we take it south to wherever the hell we stay. And you get off that and it funnels you right down that main street. I don't know any of the names, but by the RCA Dome and into the what's going to happen when there's like thousands and thousands of people?
They're
going
to have to do like in
those horse and buggies
in Phoenix. They or you know, when we were in Arizona, they had to shut down portions of the street and made them just pedestrian for the week.
It's going to be a little.
Yeah, they have to have the
and they had to reroute
area.
A lot of.
But they have more space to do all that stuff because
it
was spread out.
Spread out a lot.
This is all. This is like Providence. This is in like an X block area.
It would really help.
Directions.
It would really help Indianapolis if the Colts were in the Super Bowl that year that they hosted it, because then I think
not as many people will come.
It'd be
kind of
like
there.
The Butler thing with the Final Four. You know, there weren't as many people who had to come for the championship game because they were already there. So I think that would help them deal with the fact that there'd be a lot of this overcrowding.
But it's going to be a little bit overwhelming, especially for somebody who lives there, I would think.
But I think they could pull it off.
I think it's
it'll be better than Jacksonville. It will always be better than Jacksonville.
It's not
going to matter what.
It's not going to be I don't think a city that's going to get into the rotation.
No, Dan Snyder wants one, by the way.
At least they have
voicing his.
They will struggle
for the day-to-day operations. They have a stadium, convention center, and all the hotels within a couple blocks.
Yep.
They have the skyways. You can get to the mall.
You can stay
the hotels.
Yep.
Everything.
A lot of great restaurants.
They have that set up right in that area.
Yeah.
That's not what New York has. Your stadium's out in New Jersey. Your hotels in the city are in the city. There's no little skyway that connects the
basketball arenas a couple of blocks over. You can go walk over there for having events.
I mean, I love Indy.
Might use that for the one of the events.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
they'll
Indy
have like the concert
a,
the night before and stuff. And
I love Indy as a road destination.
The best.
But not for Super Bowl.
Or combines.
Too many people.
Joe,
you don't really like it for combines.
Joe
either,
wraps
right.
it up. He
I
says,
wouldn't know. I've never been there.
Add me as a two-time subscriber due to the Luke Jesus Walker fiasco. I had already received my first issue before the debate began, but the ensuing panty punching caused me to order my dad a subscription as well.
Nice.
Panty Thanks for punching. Keeping my drives to and from work entertaining for the past 6 years.
Wow.
You're
welcome.
So
thanks for subscribing.
Thank you for your service.
And thanks for sending one to your dad.
All right.
Thank you for your subscription.
Thanks for
it's
all the
three
emails
of two, so it's time to go.
Did we take any phone calls today? We tried, but.
Tried. We're having a little phone issue.
Why are you pointing
issue.
At three of every day?
Of course, it's phone
issue. It's three of.
Need the info.
Is Tamash on his knees in there?
I mean.
All right.
It's
in the phone.
We got to get going. I got meetings. I'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes, and I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.